Blog Talk Radio.
We are here live tonight again, and Wednesday night we're going to be praying for everybody. Tonight that we don't really talk much at all, really, and that's under emergency situations, and we are going from caller to caller. So when I call your number tonight, you just give me your first name and what state you're from. Your first name and what state you're from, that's all I need. And then I will mute you. Mute you and start prophesying over, praying over you. And if you have any special prayer requests, make sure and send it by text at 214-505-8719. 214-505-8719. Send me a text for a special request, and I will do that. We won't have to do a lot of talking in the show. Tonight is a non-talk night. It's a all prophecy night. Yep, and that's the way we like to do it sometimes. So we've been doing that for quite a while now. That way we get to minister to every person that wants it. And so there you go. That's basically it. So, all right. Let's get ready to get into some word here and see what's going on with that. Go here in just a moment. Let's open up our digital words. A digital word? The digital word. Or maybe you have your Bible. I don't know. We're going to, you know, see what goes on here and go from here to a place that God wants us to go, wherever that is. With the ministry of revelation or teaching. So get ready for some of that tonight. And I don't really know where we're going to go exactly yet. There we go. Now we're getting somewhere. Okay. All right, we do have video tonight if you want that. I've got it turned on there if you want it. So, we're believing God for our studio, of course, and we're believing God to raise money for that. People are sending in money and sending in extra offerings every week for some of that. So if you want to do that, you're welcome to do it. We are in between studios. We're going to buy. We're not going to rent anymore. We're going to be buying. So that's what's happening. All right. Okay, we've talked about several things lately, and what we are getting into is all kinds of things. We're trying to help you understand what causes a person to deny the Lord. Denying the Lord, I mean, not like you're going to say, I don't know Jesus, like Peter did, so much as, you know, when you're right in the middle of a heated situation, you go back to your, you know, systemic self. So we're calling it your systemic self. In other words, the part of you that hasn't been renewed yet. And we all have it. I don't care who you are. Everybody's got those unrenewed areas that need to be renewed, right? That's what the Bible says, renew your mind. And, yeah, so okay. All right. People sending me texts about their loved ones. People being hit with COVID right now. I mean, we have, you know, people texting me, letting me know, sending emails, letting me know that they are having issues with COVID. So, wow, when we're here to pray and believe God, you know, if you already had, well, that doesn't matter. we're not going to talk about that. Okay, so let's just stay on track here. All right, so we want to, you know, help you realize that if your heart is weak, I'm talking about your spiritual heart, yes, even your physical heart. If your spiritual heart is weak, you need to strengthen your heart. And because, you know, when pressure comes, I think there's probably more pressure on the globe right now than we've ever had before. And part of the words I've given about it was what, and before Biden became president, we talked about this many times, that Biden was a sign the system is raising its ugly head and it's going to try to take over. Yeah, and so what provoked all that? Because we were talking the other night with, I think it was, had Nicole on the other night, and she asked some really great questions. And hopefully I gave some decent answers on some things. But she said, you know, I've had people tell me that I said Donald Trump was the Antichrist. And I absolutely never said that ever, because I know who the Antichrist is. Why would I say he is? So that was kind of crazy. But she reminded me that that she said, you know, about calling Donald Trump the Antichrist. I said, I never called Donald Trump the Antichrist. I said he was going to be, he was going to make a way for the Antichrist. Well, why would I say a statement like that? Well, it looks real obvious now that everything's going on, because what did Donald Trump do? Donald Trump was a non-system person all the way that I could tell. I mean, he was a non, that's why I love him so much. He was a non-system person. He bucked the system. He bucked everything, actually. It was fun to watch. I don't know if y'all got the thrill out of it. I did. I'm glad I voted for him, even the second time I voted for him. But, you know, I was glad that I did. And I did it for that reason, because he was, you know, did some really great things. Like, he was against abortion. He was changing that. It looks like Texas is voting on that. Even actually, I think they voted on it already. And it's going to the Supreme Court to deal with abortion at a high level. And that was, if y'all have seen that, maybe if you're from Texas, if you haven't seen it on the news. The news has been talking about it today. They're highly critical of it, of course. But thank God, that's one of the things Trump, I think, put into action. And some of the great things that he did were really awesome. But why did I say that he would, I remember exact wording, but pave the way for the Antichrist? He would open the door for the Antichrist. Why did I say that way back then, you know, like 4 years ago, and maybe 3.5, 4 years ago? Because, you know, now that we look back and see what went on, what did he do constantly? I mean, he intimidated. If anybody could intimidate the system, you know, the one world system people, it was him, right? I mean, that's why God chose him, was to slap them around, to knock them upside the head, to freak them out, and to move them, you know, shake them and tear them up and start tearing up their system and a lot of things he was putting into action. Of course, Biden is already, you know, no startovers. So everything, you know, Obama started into action. Trump started, you know, reversing it, and then now it's going right back where Biden's making it where there's no startovers. Trump was kind of getting us a startover no do-overs. Say it exactly right, no do-overs. And so, in other words, you know, America's starting over again, because the God's plan is to allow the one-world system to come to its full ugly head, to manifest itself to the fullness, and then Christ slay him. And that way, that ends that era of all that. That has begun in our lifetime. That began when Joseph Biden, on 11/7, which is the numbers that we gave, you know, that God gave me, that were sovereign numbers, 11/34, but 3 + 4 = 7. On the 3rd was the election. 4 days later was the day that Biden became, you know, president according to all the news outlets. And then, you know, he was signed in on January the 6th. So we gave that word in October, before November. So what's happening is that you're going to have to see this in the light of what God has been showing me. And if you don't understand that, then this, then you're not going to know where we're going. If you don't know where we're going, you're going to be freaking out about now, if you're not already freaking out, because this is where it's going. The cool thing is that although there is no pre-trib rapture, that the Church of Jesus Christ is going to manifest the glory of God like never before. Donald Trump, in his 4 years, is the one who intimidated. Now, you have to think about this. He so intimidated the system people from all over the globe. They are all over the globe. That is true. They are all over the globe. We have people. We have Christians in the world. We have great leaders that are godly, died in the world, Jesus Christ people, thank God, and all over the globe too. But the system people has people all over the world, all over the globe at the same time. So Trump so undermined them and so intimidated them that they lost control of themselves, and they started doing things that were just crazy, that everybody knew it was crazy. They were making up stuff about him and all kinds of things right and left, and Trump kept winning. You know, they tried to take him down, he'd win. And God allowed that, just like with Jesus. Jesus kept walking right through them until the time it came for him to be crucified. John the Baptist, they couldn't do anything to him until his time was over. Then they chopped his head off. And same thing happened to Trump, Donald John Trump. And John was the greatest prophet of the old. I think Donald Trump is probably one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. And that's where I stand on it. But at the same time, I also got a word about Joseph Biden, which most of you know, years ago, 2 years ago or more than 2 years ago. And so all that began to develop. And when Biden became announced as the winner of the election on 11/7, that was the day that, behold, old things have passed away and something new has begun. Not just new for us, because it doesn't look like it's new for us at this point. If you don't see what's really going on and what God has been speaking to me about, I'm the only one who's been talking about this in specific detail, the only one. You got people scattered around talking about it, but as far as the Biden situation, being on top of that, being on top of the whole thing about Trump not winning one battle in court after he started suing Biden for, quote, fraudulently winning the election. I do believe that the system people so freaked out, they so panicked, that they started doing things that were obvious to most people that were not right, though they have no real proof of it as far as, in court. So, but it doesn't mean that they didn't do some stuff. But you know what? It doesn't matter what they did. God is allowing this to go on because he's bringing us to the end. He brought us to the end of an era that and introduced to us that the one world system is jumping in there and taking over, regardless of what anybody thinks about it, taking over. And Joseph Biden is a picture of that. Y'all can see that now, right? I've talked about this for months and months and months and months, and now it's literally coming to pass. So if you haven't been listening to PGN, you're probably still blind to a certain degree unless God has opened your eyes supernaturally. So that's what my job is. My job is to – that's even my last name is Chandler. Chandelier means light bearer. God is using me to be the light bearer, to bear the light of Christ, the reflection of Christ Jesus in the prophetic realm as a prophet, to bring forth people into a place where they will see what's going on and prophesy things that are going to happen before they happen. And this is not just, whether somebody can have a baby or not, a word like that, which is cool and awesome. But this is world event prophet information. And if you haven't been listening in, you've been missing out on that. Therefore, maybe you'll get to catch up, but this is where it's all going, friend. This is where it's all going. But if you don't understand that in the midst of all this stuff, God is going to bring the church to true repentance. Listen, 9/11 was awful. It was horrible. It was scary. But what's more scarier than that is 11 34, 11-7, which is the day Biden was announced to have won the election. And then from then on, it didn't matter what anybody said or did. That was a done deal, just as we had said and just as we had prophesied by the Spirit of God. I didn't know myself. I would have never known myself. I would have been just like everybody else had God not opened my eyes. So I don't take no credit for anything except God graciously opened my eyes. That's it. So this is where it's going. And if you haven't been prepared for this, you got some catching up to do, friend. And that's what my job is. If you listen regularly, you know exactly what we've been saying and what's been going on. And so so pray that we continue to do that. And so anyway, the whole system thing that's going on right now is the overall nutshell version of what's happening is God is allowing Joe Biden and the one world system to begin to shape its way and make its way to dominate the world as a political force. At the same time, this is worse than 911 in a sense. This is more shaking than 911. Number one, we have a coronavirus worldwide. We have a government now in our own country that is going to use this to do the same thing it did to Trump, basically, and that is just ramrod and take over. And God's going to allow it. But what it's going to do, just like at 911, people kind of halfway repented, right? Remember that? Remember that didn't last very long? You'd think that would have lasted longer than it did, but it didn't last long at all. Why? Well, because the church, it shows you that the church is so hard-hearted. The church is such in such an unrepentant state. It's gotten so used to its sin that it calls it normal now, calling evil good and good evil in many senses, in many forms. I'm talking about even with merchandising and selling Jesus, as you know we've talked about for many years. That is probably the most devastating compromise that opened the door to all kinds of evil, which is greed, the love of money, opens up the door for all kinds of evil to come in. So that has been going on for a long time. 911 shook it. It went right back to its place. Why? Because it's so systemic. The church is so systemically off track that it just went right back to its old ways, even after that. But now what we have is world events, not just a 911 American event, but we have a worldwide coronavirus. We now have a government that is using it to finish off what it started with Trump, and it will be successful because here this is the very thing, if you've noticed, that is waking the church up. That's not going to go away in a few weeks. The awakening is not going to go away in a few months. And let me be real blunt with you: this awakening and this shaking is not going away in 3 years. It's not going away. And the reason that it's not going away is because, as one little example, 911, what that did to the church, just barely put a dent in, well, we got to get right with God, start going to church, man. And then right back, you know. Because systemic, when you have systemic issues, you may selfishly get right with God, me or you, whoever, all of us. But if you are not being regenerated and made new, then you just, when pressure comes, you go back to your old self. Or when, you know, when everything seems to be okay, we're not all going to die, we all go back to our systemic ways. And that's what the church has done. So it was one of the major proofs that we have of where the church really literally is. It has been for a while. So this thing is not just a 911. It's a 911 on steroids. And because of that, that is going to cause economic issues for the merchandising church and the merchandising ministries. It is coming after them. The COVID is coming. We told you this. You know what? We told you about the the process that God was going to take down the merchandiser before COVID even hit. And then when COVID hit, I said, this is, it's going to be three phases, COVID one, COVID two, and then Joseph Biden is going to close off the finances to the churches, or mainly to the ministries, because they have not repented of the systemic merchandising of Jesus Christ through the gospel, selling the gospel, selling Jesus. And we've been calling repentance on this for at least about 10 years, maybe a little longer. But either way, so what I'm telling you tonight is, because I want to sober you up a little bit. I want to sober you up some, that this is not going to go away anytime soon. So those of you who are praying Donald Trump's going to come in and make it go away, God's not going to allow that. You know why? Because he cares more about the church getting right than he does about America getting right. He's more concerned about the Church of Jesus Christ getting right and staying right than he is in having our government, you know, doing what we ask him to do instead of begging him, can you please be nice to us? Please be nice to us. Trump kind of turned that around for a few years, but that's over, and it didn't do any good, not for the church. It took some pressure off, but it was not, church was not truly in repentance. It has not been in repentance. 9-1-1 is a perfect example of that. So what we have here is that the church, we're going to have a certain measure of people in the church that are going to get right globally with God. They're going to get right globally. And America is no longer going to save the world. It never could. It never will. And God won't allow it. God won't allow America or anybody to save Israel. Only Jesus Christ is going to save Israel, friend. So Trump's not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You're not going to do it. The church isn't going to do it. Jesus Christ himself is going to save Israel, period. And so we bless them, we love them, but he's jealous when it comes to who saves him. Believe me, he's extremely jealous over that. So don't even try. Love them, bless them, take care, do what God tells you to do, pray for them, pray for their peace. But try to save them, don't go there. That'll cause you some warfare. Oh, God is a mighty warrior, and he will not let anybody take credit and glory for saving his Jewish people. Amen. No way. So that's what's going on there. So when you start seeing that, you start understanding what's going on. Then you understand at one point, it looks like the world's going to hell in a handbasket for the purpose of, and it is in one sense, but at the same time, it is going to bring true repentance upon the Church of Jesus Christ, because this is not going to go away. We had one bombing, two planes hit two buildings in New York, and it caused the world to freak out for a little while. This is going to just keep going on and on and on, and the church is going to watch it. And just like we gave words, you know, months and years ago about this, that literally in precision, much of it very precision about how it was going to happen. So now that it's happening and it's not going to go away, then true repentance is going to come, and people are going to come to Jesus and or get right with Jesus and quit merchandising Jesus. That's going to be one of the first things that they're going to be forced to do, because they didn't do it willingly. God will now force them to quit selling Jesus. He's going to force them through a king called like Nebuchadnezzar or Babylon. It's like he did with Israel back in the day. He forced them. You don't get right willingly. You don't listen. We're not merchandising or anything. We're not selling Jesus. We're just raising money for it. We're selling Jesus to raise money for Jesus. I'm just like, look, that is not in the Bible at all, anywhere, and never has been, and never will be, because it's against what God wants. So that's what's up. And so we are going to, if you see this correctly, and know that there's no pre-trib rapture, that it's going to cause the Church of Jesus Christ to get right with God like never before, and basically stay right with God. There's a fire called Holy Ghost fire that
that God is, we are going to be thrown into by Nebuchadnezzar, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were, thrown into the fire to those who don't bow. There are going to be some who will bow, of course, to Nebuchadnezzar, but they will not bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow to him. And because of that, the glory of God will come forth in the church of Jesus Christ. And the Son of Man will be seen in the midst of the church like it was in the book of Revelation. And people will see Christ in a new fashion, in a new way. They're not going to see the old, you know, they're not going to see Jesus with brown hair, dark brown hair. And I've seen him. I know what he looks like. He doesn't look like that now. And now he has white hair. He's in a glorified state with blazing eyes. And a whole different look. Same Jesus, whole different look, which most people are not going to recognize. They're going to be looking for the old brown-haired Jesus, if you will, instead of the new Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, the seating at the right hand. I mean, you can't sit at the right hand of the Father for long without flaming up, man. Your hair's going to turn white, too. Yeah. Okay, anyway. So that's what's going on with that. And so this is what's really happening. This is what's really going on. And this is what Joseph Biden and God shouting Joseph Biden to me in 2008, shouted his name to me. All of you know, because I've talked about it for 10 years, about how he shouted his name to me. And I didn't know exactly how and when he was going to be president, or if he's going to be a part of the one world government. I wasn't sure exactly what, but I knew it had to be important because he never shouted anything to me before and never shouted to me anything since. And it woke me up. He shouted to me, Joseph Biden. Yeah, just like that. As you guys know, I've told you many, many times. The reason all that information was important was to show God's people that God knows what's going on and where we're going before we go there. Therefore, we know that we can take comfort in his word. We can take comfort in that he knew because he told us already. And therefore, we can take comfort in that. And you can also take comfort in what I'm telling you now, because the same person through me told you all that before is now telling you this right now. And you're going to see, just like I'm going to see, we're going to watch the Lord Jesus manifest in the fire of God. And we're going to come out without smoke, without smelling like smoke, and rather than being promoted in the Babylonian system, God's going to separate us out and protect us and watch over us, because now we have a little bit different system. We have the ending of an era, a new era. As this new era we're in now unfolds, and the things I'm telling you are going to happen, that as you watch this happen, you'll go, oh, wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. And most people's image of the end times is from pre-trib, fear-mongering preachers. And they're my brothers. I love them. I mean, they're truly men of God. They've been used just like Peter, Peter in the Bible. You know, Peter was taught, from some very wonderful rabbis and, you know, Bible people who taught the law. And people who taught, you know, the things of the law, like Christ the Messiah would come and rule on the throne of David. Right? In other words, they were saying he would, they didn't say it, but they were basically saying he would not die on a cross. When Jesus, the Messiah, came, whom Peter believed in, was the Messiah, he just thought Jesus had a little bit of his doctrine messed up. Jesus, you're doing really good, man. You got a little bit of your doctrine messed up. And I'm going to bring some of my buddies over, my people who taught my mom and daddy and taught me all my life, and it's systemic for me that you're going to rule on the throne of David, and you're not going to die. So I wish you quit talking about this dying stuff. And so, you know, Jesus basically said, your doctrine, your scriptures are good, but what you say it means, what they said, what these well-meaning rabbis and teachers of whoever taught, that the Jewish people whoever taught was teaching them, when they taught that, said, yeah, the scriptures were good, but the understanding was wrong. Therefore, Peter, you're going to miss what's going to happen in the future because you're misinterpreting some wonderful scripture from some wonderful people who thought they were doing a wonderful job of telling you that wonderful information, but that wonderful information is of man and not of God. And he said, therefore, Satan, to Peter, get behind me, for you savorest not. You don't have a taste for, flavor, taste for the things of God, but the things of men. And he was trying to tell him, you're missing it. You're misunderstanding the end time, and I am the end time. You're misunderstanding what's truly going to happen, and because you're missing what's truly going to happen, you're going to deny me. And he prophesied to him, you will deny me. So when Peter denied him, the day he denied him because this thing about the cross and Jesus dying, and now they had come and got him, and his bad Jesus' negative confessions. I love this negative confession stuff, man. Oh, that was negative confession. Jesus, your negative confession got you, it's going to get you crucified, so stop talking like that, you know. Our positive confession faith people, you know, hyper faith, yeah, all those people. Yeah, they think prophecy is if you say it enough, if you say what they believe the scripture means enough, you keep saying Jesus is going to rule on the throne of David forever and not die, I think if you keep saying it enough, it's going to come true. Like, let's all agree on Jesus is not going to die on the cross. No, he's not going to do that. Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. I believe you're the Messiah, but you don't know what you're talking about, and I rebuke you. And so quit saying that negative confession, because that negative confession is going to get you nailed. Sure enough, what happened? They came and got him, and Peter watched the whole thing and cut off an ear while he was at it, because he really was a courageous guy. He really was. In human realm, the brother was courageous, man. I mean, he was hot with courage. He's swinging swords, protecting Jesus. See, Jesus, your negative confession has got him. Now I had to cut somebody's ear off, Jesus. And Jesus said, oh, don't worry, I'll heal it. He put his ear back on. But when he was being, Peter knew when he was in that place with the Sanhedrin and they were bringing him to trial, and Peter was sitting there listening to some of it, and right there he started thinking Jesus' negative confession, well, so he must not really be the Messiah. Though I thought he was, and I know he was, but now that the pressure's on and they're going to kill me, you know what? My systemic thinking is he's not really the Messiah, because the Messiah is going to rule on the throne of David. Therefore, no, what do you say? No, I don't know him blankety-blanking. I don't have a clue who he is. So Peter was saying he went back to his systemic belief system that him and his family and their family before them and their family before them and their family before them were taught by the precious, wonderful, God-fearing rabbis who were wrong what they taught, misinterpreted what they taught. They meant well. It all looked good and felt good. Everybody believed it. It was scriptural, but it was wrong to the core. Peter was now saying, well, I guess I don't really know you, Jesus. And that's why he said, I don't know him. He wasn't just making up something. Jesus knew that he would deny him because he knew that his systemic belief was what? Because Jesus was raised a Jew too, you know? He was raised and taught that about himself. You know, nobody knew that was going to be him, but he listened to them teach it. He knew what they taught. Now, the Son of David, the Messiah, when he comes, he will rule on the throne of David forever and ever. In other words, he will never die. He's not going to die on a cross. He's certainly not going to die on a shameful cross. He's sure not going to die of shame by Rome, because he's here. The Messiah's come to rule on the throne of David to take over Rome, not become overcome by Rome. So, you see, Peter's systemic belief system kicked in, and yours and mine would have done the same thing. When the pressure really comes on, you're going to start going back to what you really, truly believe and what really hasn't been changed in you by God. You will go back to that, friend. I don't care what it is. Me, you, all of us. Because that's just the way it is. Jesus knew it. He was smarter than they thought. Therefore, I tell you today, a lot of the teachings that these wonderful, God-fearing people, and I truly mean that, who have taught the pre-trib rapture as though it's blasphemous to say anything else other than what, and I know I've dealt with them from the time I got a couple of years into being saved in 1973, I got saved, from about 75 on up, I got hit in the head with those people all the time because I wasn't afraid of them. I confronted them about this stuff, but they, you know, I mean, God is my witness and Christ all I know. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. It happened over and over again. Yeah, so I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just blowing smoke here. I'm telling you, and you ask, you know, in Christ's name, I lie not. If I exaggerate or lie about any of this stuff, you may not strike me dead. I'm telling you. Paul the Apostle said in Romans 9:1, he said, you know, in Christ I lie not, Paul said. Go read it for yourself. Four times in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle said, in God's name I lie not. Go check it out. Do your own research and go get busy, get off your kabooty and find it for yourself. It's all there. And then if you can't find it, give me a call, and I'll give you the scriptures. So, friend, what I'm telling you is people are going to, the great falling away is going to be because when people find out that they're not going to be raptured out, pre-trib raptured out, they're going to be raptured out, but not pre-trib raptured out. And because they're not going to be, you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, well, you know, they're going to go back to their systemic thing. Well, you told me, when I got saved, I went down to the altar because they told me to get my head cut off if I didn't make it in the rapture. So I came down and got saved because you told me I was going to miss this head cutting session. And here I am. And now they're cutting off heads, and I'm still here. The temple's being built. The Antichrist is stirring around. And I guess you're not really God. And people who didn't really get saved in those meetings, those fear-mongering pre-trib movies, who got saved because they didn't want to get their heads chopped off instead of receiving Christ as a loving Savior who gave his life for them. I'm not saying they didn't all get saved. I'm saying probably most of them didn't. Some of them, I'm sure, did because the Holy Spirit used that nonsense to bring them to Jesus anyway. But you're going to find that most of those people who got saved in those circumstances and with that, quote, revival, hogwash, instead of true repentance and love for Jesus and being drawn to the cross of Calvary, to the Virgin Mary's son, the Son of God, who died on the cross and rose again and ascended to the Father and is soon coming back, that one, that's what I'm talking about. They're going to say, I don't know him. I'm prophesying to you, friend. You get ready. You get ready. We're going to hear testing. Yeah, you know, I don't know him. You know, he told me when I got saved, I got saved. And, you know, I was scared to death. I was trembling and shaking and weeping and crying. I don't want to be here. Get my head cut off. Oh, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I want to get saved. I want to go to church. And they fought with sin and the power of sin all their life. Couldn't figure out why they were able to overcome their sins. Everybody has trouble with sins at a certain time, but you know, by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're really born again, you're going to be getting right with God. You're going to get that right with God. You can't just live in that stuff. The Holy Spirit living inside, you can't just live with that stuff. And you will eventually get it right because the Holy Spirit will not let you be content with that state. And don't tell me he will because he will not. So anyway, no condemnation, love, love and mercy. Am I blowing your socks off tonight? Some of the people who listen to me fairly regularly, you know, it's like, oh, there he goes again. But I'm trying to lay out the scenario of what's going on right now and why, how we're going to win the battle isn't through fighting, trying to take Joe Biden out. Jeremiah told him, if you try to stop Nebuchadnezzar from doing what God's called Nebuchadnezzar to do and Babylon coming to take out Israel, if you try to stop him, go read it for yourself. Jeremiah said, you will be killed. And we're going to see that happen. We're seeing that he might literally physically kill them. It will kill their businesses, you know. So it's not that we bow down, right? We don't bow to their gods, ever. It allows a Nebuchadnezzar to come and take over, because he's judging the Christian nation around the globe. We're going to wake up, friend. We will wake up, because this is not going away. I know some of you are praying it away, but what you're praying away is the revival that it's going to bring, and God's going to rebuke you for that. He's going to rebuke you for that. He will be rebuking you. You'll be rebuking the Holy Spirit. No, bring back Trump. Bring back America. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen, period. Ever again. I mean, we're going down to hell in a handbasket, and we're going to live in sheer poverty. Depends on how we deal with the whole situation and whether we repent or not. We repent. God is, when you truly repent and stop, one of the things is the church stop merchandising. That's a big one, because it brings in the love of money, the root of all kinds of evil. Once that door shut and we truly start repenting and get our eyes open, we're going to be weeping over how do we think we could sell Jesus, and, you know, I mean, that happened. Well, people are going to be weeping over it. They're going to feel bad about it. How I felt when God opened my eyes. They're going to be weeping, getting right with God. The purity and the love of Jesus is going to saturate their hearts. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be true revival. And that's how we're going to win the battle, not by fighting under, you know, talking hate speech about our president. You know what being a patriot is? A patriot is praying for your president. That's what a true patriot is. You may not agree with a thing he does, which I don't. I don't agree with much of what he's doing and his belief system as far as their party. I believe what Trump was doing. I believe what, you know, what, yeah, that's what I believe. I voted for him twice. But a true patriot doesn't sit there on Fox News as a commentator and call the President of the United States a bunch of names. You can say the truth about him without, you know, doing some of that. That's not patriotic. People don't even know what true patriot being a patriot is, because that sure ain't it. Tell the truth about somebody who's president and saying you don't agree with them, yeah. Chadwick Meshach and Abednego said, Mr. President, we respect you, sir, but, you know, whether our God delivers us or not, we are not going to bow. Sorry. Okay, you're going to throw it into the fire. What a great thing that ended up being. But some of those intercessors would have been praying, oh, no, God, save them from the fire. Oh, the intercessors prayed out, and the prophets prophesied, God's going to save them from the fire. They're going to be saved from the fire, from that fire of Nebuchadnezzar. From the fire. Oh, watch. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Look. Watch. They're trying to throw them in the fire. And the people who threw them in got burned up to a crisp. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But, oh, wait a minute. No, they're in the fire. Wait a minute. That was a false prophecy. I mean, I didn't mean that. It was a type and shadow prophecy. No, wait a minute. I think the cameras are revealing they are actually in the fire. Okay, let's change that prophecy. They're going to go through the fire. Yes, they're in the fire, going through the fire. It's going to be amazing. They're going to probably die, but the asphyxiation, but they will not smell like smoke. No, wait a minute. There they come. No, they're coming out of the fire. Oh, my God, they're coming out of the – they're actually walking. Is that the son of – is that Jesus in the midst of – oh, my God. We got that wrong. God turned that evil thing around. You know, our prophecies were right on, but God obviously wanted to do something a little different, and we're not wrong. We just didn't get it right. But look how God turned it around for good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Now that I don't know about y'all, but does that fit the picture of what you've been seeing? It does, and it is. It is exactly what's been going on, and I'm not going to hold back on it, not for 1 minute. And I'm going to tell it exactly the way God gives it to me. So, hang on. You might want to go away if you don't think you can handle it, and come back later. But later might be tougher. I don't know. I'm trying to be nice. Try to be a nice prophet. All right, and that's just the way it is. And God is love, and he's going to reveal his love to his people. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be an amazing season, amazing time. The church getting right, man, in the fire. Ho, ho, ho. And Christ the Messiah showing up in the midst of the fire. I'm with you. I'm with you. We're going to go through this fire. You're going to come out greater in glory. You're going to burn out all the stuff. You're not going to smell like smoke. No, you won't. It's going to be awesome. That's what's really going on, friend. So the reason people fear, and I'm going to stop because I want to take my caller. The reason people fear what I'm saying and they dread it and they don't want to hear it is because of what all the fear-mongering pre-tribulation rapture people have taught them all these years. And all the movies, all the get saved, are you going to get your head cut off, preaching revivals, preaching revivals, going to get your head cut off revival, yeah. And people get, I mean, some of those people could tell stories and make up stuff that put the fear of hell on people, not the fear of God. And, yeah, they had revival, all right, but I'm afraid it wasn't God, a lot of it. Yeah, so if you got saved and all that, maybe you might want to check out and make sure you're really saved and get right with God, because he's going to take you through anything and everything, just like the whole Bible talks about. 99.9% of the Bible, I mean, 100% really, every time God takes his church through, it doesn't pour his wrath out on anybody but the ungodly. But the righteous sit there and watch it. Every time in the Bible, the righteous have sat there and watched it happen every time. But no, these people, what do they say? I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. I'm moving on. Yes, I am. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's go here and take our callers tonight. We love you guys. Pray for us as I'm trying not to get as loud as I usually do. I'm trying to quiet that down a little bit. But I miss preaching, so sometimes I sit here and it gets a little bit loud because it's like I'm pacing the floor like I used to. Back preaching the gospel and preaching Jesus, standing there preaching, you know, that's what I'm used to. So, all right, let's take callers. Okay, I'm going to call callers tonight. I'm going to fix the call your numbers right now. And we're going to ask you what your first name and what state you're from, and that's all I need. Okay, if you have a special prayer request, I know I have some requests from people saying that they're, let's see here, Russ is on 32, is on day 32 in the hospital with COVID. He's not expected to live, but we are seeing small improvements. Awesome. All right. And that's, who's that coming from? Candace. Oh, that's Candace. She sent me a recording. Okay. Okay. I'm trying to go through and find out everybody. Okay, got Crystal. Renee and Crystal. Okay. So we have Crystal. Okay, I got all you got. Okay, I see your prayer request. I will pray for your father. Our Renee. Okay, so I see that request. So I got that. I will pray over that when I get you guys on, okay? All right, so I'm going to call your number, and then 469-486, you are first in line. Okay, 469-486, okay, and then 585 is after that, and then 469-500 is after that. Okay, and then 469-306 after that. Okay, after that. And then 325, you're after that. And then 863, you're after that. 52.
All right. And then 214-326 year after that. And then 903 after that. 972 after that. 803-991 after that. Okay, and then 847 after that, 847. Okay, and then 720 after that. 720 with a 6 on it. 940 after that. All right, and then 720-819 after that. And 403 after that. And then we have a couple other people with their hands. They'll have their hands up. All right, 478, you don't have your hand up. 610, you don't have your hand up. 402-553, you don't have your hand up. 951, you don't have your hand up. Okay, that's okay. Get it up whenever you want to. All right, I'm going to take my first caller here tonight. My first caller is 469-486. All right, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
This is Crystal from Texas.
Hi, Crystal. All right, Crystal.
Hi.
Crystal is one of the Baskin family. Their father and Renee's husband became hospital, and it's pretty rough. It looks like they're saying he's going to die, but they are seeing some good results. So, all right, Crystal, thank you, Jesus, for Crystal. God, we thank you, Father, for the heart you've given her to see things through to the very end. God's given you a thing to see things through to the very end. It's a calling of God to see things through to the very end. And you'd be like being the last one standing or something. It's like, you know, God has put that in you to be faithful to him, to be faithful to God, to be faithful. And an enemy has really tried to wreck that with you and really destroy that with you. And God, because sometimes we're faithful. When you're a faithful person, you get faithful to the wrong thing, you get faithful to the wrong person, I've been faithful to, with pastors before. The pastors end up, being people who didn't really, believe right. So, somebody be faithful to the wrong people, and they go the wrong direction. So when you're faithful to the wrong people, then, because you have a sense of wanting to be faithful, and they wreck that or try to wreck it, the enemy tries to use it to wreck that faithfulness, that God's going to, God's showing you and perfecting within you how to be faithful to God first, and how to not get that mixed up, because we all get that mixed up, especially when you're called to be faithful. And you want to be faithful, and you want to be loyal, and you want to be the last one standing. And it's like the enemy tries to bring all kinds of things that look good and appear good to be faithful and loyal too. And sometimes we get our eyes off God, not backsliding, not being bad people, veer off to our faithfulness from God to people or to a thing or whatever. And God's jealousy comes in and says, Crystal, I love you, I'm jealous over you. And therefore, I'm going to allow some of those things you have, slipped off into being faithful to. They're not bad things, not evil things, but just, because of God's jealousy, he allows them to sometimes fall apart only temporarily because he's after you. And this has happened to me several times, many times. You can be faithful and loyal to ministry, right, and prayed that for God. I've done it. You don't realize you're doing it. You do it. It's easy to slip off from that. Every person that I know of does it all the time. And we have to always, when I take communion every day now, I say, God, in my heart, I'm saying, you paid for everything. Help me stay loyal to you, and don't let me, veer off again to, thinking I'm being faithful to you by this thing, but help me to be faithful to you first, and that I don't provoke your jealousy so that you can bring me the people and bring me the things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added to you. But God adds them to you. Why? Because when we're not making him jealous, right, which I have done a time or two, boy, he can mess up some stuff fast. Even things that start out being of God and just
Abraham had to offer up Isaac. I'm not sure exactly all the reasons, but one of them could have very easily been that, you know, there was different reasons for it. But, you know, Abraham, have you put Isaac over me? Well, go offer him up and let's see who you're loyal to. And sure enough, you know, he was loyal to God. And it helps set you back on course. It helps set you back on. It's not like we're going to hell or that God's going to, you know, he just does things to get us totally committed to him in every session. And then he said, now, if you're able to keep your faithful and loyalty to me, I'll bring you anything you want. Anything you want. Just keep that faithfulness and loyalty to me. And when you do, I won't have to destroy or mess up or temporarily interfere with, because I'm jealous, just like a jealous woman or jealous husband over their wife or husband. If they see somebody messing up, they're going to be like doing everything they can to mess that up, right? They have to slip on their computer or their phone and send text to, you know, to their husband, to her husband, going, I feel like you're going to be to me like you are to your wife right now, and that is being unfaithful and giving me eyes and that kind of thing. And it sends it off, and then make it look like it came from this person going after him. And then, like, in other words, interfering with it, sending messages of, you know, because of the jealousy, the beautiful, beautiful godly jealousy. It's a beautiful thing. And God drawing you, wooing you. Hallelujah. Because in that place, it's pure protection and pure provision. The provision in that place is awesome. It's exceeding abundantly above, Crystal, anything you can think of or even imagine. Because when we wholeheartedly never make God jealous and always keep him first, which is a battle every day. But when we successfully do that, he draws all those things as rewards to, now I'm more blessed than I've ever been in my life. And as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus, it's always going to be there for the use of his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right, let's go here to my next caller. It's 585-436. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hi, it's Anonymous.
Oh, hi, Anonymous. All right. And if you're an Anonymous, you don't have to tell me what state you're from, because you're Anonymous for a reason, so that's okay. All right, Anonymous, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that the piety of the Lord, the piety, and God showing you what true piety is. How do you spell piety? Let's look it up here. Piety. Is that how you spell it? Like pie? Is it like pie? I don't even know. P-I-E-T-Y, maybe? Piety? I think I got it. Look at that. It's spelled like piety. Okay, piety. The quality of being, of course, this is going to be a Google response, right? I'm looking this up on Google. Piety, the quality of being religious or reverent, acts of piety and charity, the belief or point of view that is accepted with unthinking conventional reverence. Look at that. Anonymous, this is really cool because I just realized it's, when I started trying to figure out how to spell it, you know, and I did do good at that, by the way, if y'all noticed it. Pie key. Part of the pie. Yeah, you spell pie. You just spell pie, P-I-E, right?
I think so.
And it's like part of the pie. How are you going to get part of the pie? With piety, the quality of being reverent. Amen. And let me do this thing. I got to look at. I don't know. You know, I get those strange things, you know, sometimes. Yeah, Pie. That's exactly what I could think. Am I spelling, do I even know how to spell pie? And I knew I did, but, you know, you look at it and think, well, a baked dish or fruit or meat or vegetable, typically basic pastry. Okay, so we're looking at that, the piety, the pie of being pious, you know, in the Lord, truly Holy Spirit piety. And God showing you, you know, what true piety is. Sometimes we think it's not smoking and not drinking. You know, I've talked about this a few times, how most people think being pure is not drinking, not smoking, not chewing and dipping and all the other things, like all those other people do, like, or like what I used to do, actually. I used to dip and chew. I did. I wasn't ever a cowboy, but my daddy was. So even though I was a hippie, I dipped and chewed and did a lot of other stuff. And anyway, you know, piety is purity, and piety is simply being who you are, even with your failures and your inadequacies and mistakes and all the stuff, but just not trying to be somebody else, right? That's true purity is that. It's just being who you are. I'm not perfect yet, and this is me. You know, I'm changing. I want to change. God has changed me. I'm turning. He's turning me into his glory. He turned me into his image and all that, and it's happening, and I'm growing every day, but, you know, this is me. This is me, you know. Yeah, take me in. And that's true piety. God's going to show you what true piety is, because to get part of the pie, you know, to get the pie or part of the pie, it's revealed through piety. So, in other words, being pure, it's what brings, you know, like I gave the word to Crystal about seek first kingdom God and his righteousness. What's his righteousness? Righteousness is what's right with God. What's right with God? Being pious, being piety, or reverential, respectful God, or pure. What is that? That's just being who you are, not trying to be somebody else, not trying to do something else, but it's being right. Because when you're right, then God adds to you the pie. Seek first kingdom God and his righteousness, and all the pieces of the pie will be added to you. And that's literally what I got out of that, as crazy as that may sound, but you know how it goes around here. So, you want your piece of the pie, or you just want the whole pie? I think we want the whole pie, right? Because then we can share it. Then we can, you know, or whatever God says to do with it. Yeah. So, you know, Jesus just hated, he hated the fact that many of the religious people were just putting on an act. I mean, you know, he says, man, you know, you don't have to put on an act. You can just be yourself. But don't put on an act and try to deceive people. That's a deception. So we move from, at first we think, oh, try to be like somebody else, you know. It's not that big of a deal. But I'm just trying to grow up and be, you know, I want to be like them because they're so awesome. But then after a while, when we do it, when we keep doing it and we don't really change, but we just act like that and it just becomes an act, you know, which it can be without us realizing it, then what happens is we don't get the piece of the pie, basically, or get blessed. And so but God can really show you that. And because rewards truly are part of the Bible. They're in the Word of God. And he wants us to have them, but it's all going to be through true piety. Yeah, the pie. All right. That's it. All right, 469-500, you want to talk to you real quick, please?
Hi, this is Maddie from Texas.
Maddie?
Yes.
You said Maddie. Okay, hi, Maddie. All right, Maddie, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for that whole prophetic realm, God. I thank you for opening up Maddie to that whole prophetic realm about what the prophetic is, because the Bible talks about in the last days, and I really believe we're in the last of the last days. He said, you know, I'm going to pour out my spirit on my sons and my daughters, and they're going to prophesy, you know. And it's going to be one of the dominant things in the earth, in the end times. Why? Because prophesying, or, you know, my sons and my daughters are going to prophesy, they're going to be getting information directly from God, you know, from the Lord. I mean, people think that's such a really big thing. Are you getting something directly from God, like every day? Yeah, you're crazy. That's what the religious people tell us. That's what they tell us. And that's the whole reason Jesus died on the cross, Maddie. That's the reason he died on the cross, was so that we could have, that we could be sons and daughters, not, you know, under the law and have to, you know, be afraid of God because, you know, we're not kin to him in that sense. But now we are his sons and daughters. We are his blood. Now he loves to talk to us. And coming down in the Garden of Eden and talking to his people, that was the way he designed it. That's what he wanted. He wasn't like, oh, God hasn't come down in 2 days into the garden and talk with us. Eve, I wonder what's wrong. You know, did we do something wrong? 2 days. You know, it's like, these days people go, oh, you think you talk to God like every other day or something, every 2 days, once a year? How about once in a lifetime, maybe? If you got that, I could see that, maybe. So they don't understand. So God's going to show you the prophetic realm and prophesying. And prophesying is more than just what I'm doing, you know, here getting on the show and calling out people as I've done in meetings across, you know, different seasons of my life. Prophesied to many, many people. It's not always just doing exactly what I'm doing, but it is sons and daughters, may not be prophets necessarily, but they are, because God is pouring out his spirit through them, they're able to hear what God is saying about things. And it doesn't mean that they know everything, but it means that, you know, God is communicating and he wants to, you know, speak through you and talk to you. And, you know, you think God talks through you and you're not even a prophet. You're not even a fivefold ministry person. You're not a pastor. Yeah, that's the way God says, shepherd my sheep know my voice. And another, they're going to follow. So God's going to want to open you up to that realm of knowing him daily, you know, speaking to him, listening to him, talking, letting him talk through you. You know, I'm just going to tell you, Maddie, what God asked me one time, I'm a prophet called to the prophet realm, right? I don't just prophesy. I'm a prophet. I'm a, you know, a shepherd prophet, and that's my calling. And so he said to me one time, just as plain as I'm talking to you, he said, you think you could, it wasn't a command, it wasn't, you know, you better do this, boy, you know, that's my anointing, that's my Holy Ghost in you, that's my salvation you got, you know. He just said, like a friend to me, Matt, he said, you could just let me talk to my people, Randy? Kind of like that, and like it was so sweet Jesus, what I call sweet Jesus, though. It was so beautiful. It's like, you think, you know, it's like, it's kind of the atmosphere. You think you could, you know, like, let me talk to my people, Randy? I would like that. That's what I'm looking for, people that I could talk, you know. I want to talk to my people. I want to tell them how much I love them. I want to tell them much, you know, I want to keep them and hold them and, you know, let them know, you know, that I'm with them. And you think you could let me do that? And I was like, Maddie, that really, and I'm just like, how can you refuse that, right? And it wasn't about being a prophet. It was about prophesying, because prophets do get prophet words, but prophets also just yield to the Holy Spirit and just prophesy. In other words, letting God, and that's what God wants to show you, girl. He wants to open you up to that and love you and love through you, because let me tell you something, it's addicting when the love you get for letting Jesus or the Holy Spirit or whatever talk through you to his people. I mean, even if it's correction somewhat, you learn how to correct in such love, because you start finding out how God truly corrects people instead of how we've been corrected by parental or whatever, you know, human beings, you know. Yeah, because they're not perfect, but he's perfect. And when he corrects people, it's with such love, Maddie. It is with such love. Oh, wow. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. And the love fest that you have with him when he's oh, I got somebody that I can talk to my people finally, one more person. Yeah, Maddie. Okay, Maddie, let's go, Maddie. Okay, get ready. I'm gonna be in the supermarket today, and you're gonna go up to somebody and you're gonna say, I don't really know you, but you know, I see you are you want to be happy, and God wants you to be happy. It can be something just as simple as that. It doesn't have to be, thus saith the Lord thy God. And, you know, I mean, that's fun, and I like talking like that to myself sometimes. But it's just like Jesus talked to people. Jesus didn't always holler when he talked to his disciples. And he talked to them every day You know, every day God was talking to the disciples. Jesus walked along and talked. He taught them all the time. He talked to crowds all the time. That's God talking. People are like, oh, you think you're Jesus? Well, Jesus said, greater things shall you do than I did. So what's up with all that? I don't know. What are people thinking? It's a religious spirit, and I despise it, and I hate it, actually. But it keeps people from just simply being used by God and realize with childlike faith, that's all I need. There has to be some overwhelming end-time word from God. You're going to be a mighty, you know, revelator from heaven. And, you know, it could just be, you know, God wants you happy. And you know what? I found out when I said like things like that to people before, just in the street or whatever, at the store, restaurant, whatever. And they said, well, you know, that's really amazing because I just asked God today, you know, do you want me to be happy? You know, like, does God want people to be happy? Like, he wants us to be miserable, holy Christians? Like, they were kind of like, you think, God, do you want me to be happy? Is being happy good? I mean, because I see all these religious people, and they're so sad all the time. You want me to be happy? Is that good? I mean, I don't know. And you walk up to him, and it doesn't sound this big. It doesn't sound like, thus saith the Lord. You're saying, hey, you know, I see that you know, God wants to make you happy. He wants you happy. They're going to be going like, oh, my gosh. I was just thinking, I just prayed that prayer last night. I've had that happen many, 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 multitudes of times. God wants to live for you, girl. All right? Get ready. Get ready to sit right down. Get ready to sit right down with Jesus. Amen. Yeah, he wants to love through you. All right, 469-396. I'm going to talk to you real quick, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Garrett and Candace from Texas.
Oh, yes. I'll put that number for me. All right. Garrett, Candace. Thank you, Garrett. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, Garrett, God wants you to be like a dictionary. And he wants you to, you know, God wants you to seek information. You know, a dictionary, a heavenly dictionary, I guess you would say, where you have the meanings to think. God wants to give you the meanings of things, the meanings of why, you know, like what's going on with Russ, you know, so to speak, and Renee and all the, you know, and the family and what's going on with all that. He wants to give you, you know, meanings. You know, a dictionary, you look at the word pie and it says there's what a pie is. It gives you the meaning of a pie. When you look at the word piety, it tells you what piety is, what it means. So, you know, God wants to give you the meaning of things, like a Holy Ghost dictionary in a sense. He wants to show you what this means, what this circumstance means, what this situation means. Excuse me. And to where you can, comfort people and say, you know, I know you think that, you know, this and that and that is going on, but that's not what's going on. God's doing something great. I could drink my water there. And I know you think that it's going to take you down, and it looks like it's going to take you down, but I want to bring you the meaning of this situation. What Satan meant for evil, God's going to turn it for good. That's what that means. Everything that everybody meant that they did wrong against you, God meant that for your good, but Satan did mean it for your evil. And that's the meaning of Joseph's situation. That was the definition of Joseph's overall life. And God's going to give you overall definitions of things and show you things and give you the grace to speak them and to give them and talk to them and help people understand. Because they want to look at what's going on with my life, and they look at a dictionary and go, okay, Randy's life, Joseph's life. You know, Jared's life. What's in this particular situation? What's going on? And give meaning and definition to things. And so God, I thank you, Lord, for breathing that into his nostrils, God, not right now, but the Holy Ghost, breathing that into his nostrils, breathe the breath of life in him, to give him the breath, to give people breath when they're out of breath, when they're just suffocating from fear, from their suffocating from oh, God, this thing's going to take me down, and they're in fear. Oh, this thing's going to mess me up, and they're just going down, and they need a fresh breath. They need a fresh breath. You'll just give them a fresh breath of air, God. When you breathe into his nostrils, God, he's going to be able to breathe into the nostrils of other people, definitions of things, words, information, things you can give him to comfort people and to give them a breath of fresh air where they can take a breath because they're panicking, they're in fear. Give them a spirit of comfort, God, in Jesus' name. Comfort doesn't mean you always have all the answers. Sometimes comfort is just, you know, speaking God over people, reminding them how big God is in this horrific situation. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And giving definition to people's lives. I think it's for you and both of you guys, actually, Candace. I think Candace is. So, Candace, the thing of God giving you clothing has different styles that come in over the years. Like I remember back in the bell bottom days, back when I was a teenager in the 70s, bell bottoms were huge, and they were literally huge. You know, there was a style back then. There was a sign of the time. When I think of bell bottom, I see the word bell bottom, I think of the 70s, and I had them. My mama let me wear them, thank God, and they were cool to me. So I see God. You've been able to look at people and tell what style of religion, what style of life they're living, what kind of functioning they're functioning in, and be able to, help them understand who they are. Help them understand who they are, and that styles with God even change, seasons with God change, and to help people. Like I went bell bottoms to, you know, bootleg. What do you call it? Not bootleg. Bootleg. That's like bootlegging. Nah, I'm not talking about bootlegging. What we call the boot. Yeah, those. And so I went from one thing to another because seasons move on, and when seasons move on, people change. And helping people, you know, some people, I know people to this day that are stuck in the 70s, man. I mean, not that that's bad or anything, but they're just stuck in the 70s. They've never moved on. They've never grown up. They're stuck in that season. And God has empowered you as a servant of God to bring people out of that season that they're in and help them dress differently, spiritually speaking. Help them, you know, break the tradition of this is the way we've always done this and help them change and move into the new style that God has. God has different styles for different things. Like the style for God and the priesthood used to be, you know, little mitres that the priest wore and all the garments that the priest wore. That was what was in style. I mean, under the old covenant, that was in style for a long time. And then the style changed. Now we got, you know, Jesus wearing from the tribe of Judah, dressed completely different than the priest dressed. He didn't look like anything like a priest, but he was the best priest of all. And things transitioned from that style of the priesthood to now they just dress in regular clothes and they're called kings and priests and a kingdom of priests and the sons of God and so God helping you to breathe into people's lives the power of the breath of you can change. Yeah, that used to be it. That's the thing. And now God is moving us into, you know, we're moving into the end of the end time, so to speak. So you got to transition from that state. And because if you stay in that place, you're going to turn religious. Because when you grow in God, you move from one style, one system, one thing. You move in, it's just growth with God. And when you grow with God, you change the way you dress. You change the style that you're in. You change. You move into going from being single. I was a dope a pothead, smoking, drinking, single person. When I got saved, all that stuff just went away, and, you know, I just changed completely. And then as I changed as a Christian, I changed from one glory to the next glory. And every glory had a different style about it, had a different look about it. And I moved from being, you know, a preacher to love Jesus to a prophet who prophesies to the nations and to people and to everyday people and to, you know, all kinds of people. And that's changed as the years have gone by. to help people come out of getting stuck where they are and come out of that, even with relationships where they get stuck in a relationship and they can't seem to get over that relationship. They're stuck on that. Hey, I know I still love, I still love, I know I'm married again, but I love, I still love, I can't, whatever. Well, God's going to show you how to break those soul ties so people can move on with their life. They can change the new style, if you will, up there, I don't know if it's correct way to say it, into the relationship that they're in now, and be able to let the old go and move on into the future. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. God, I thank you for that anointing on Candace and Jared's life. God, I thank you, Lord, for opening them up to the power of love and to the power of speaking into people's lives. And changing the way they letting them move forward into their future, God, in the name of Jesus, not getting stuck where they are. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right, let's go to the next caller here. All right, 325-280. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right. All right. Thank you, Chris. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I see like this big hammer in your hand. It's not just like a hammer that you nails with, like carpenter hammer. It's like a sledge. Somebody call it a sledgehammer, yes. I see these images in my mind. You got this big sledgehammer with a big old, you know, handle on it. And, dude, you are tearing up some stuff. You know, and I've talked about this before, but there's an anointing. If we don't have the anointing to tear down things, then we can't rebuild. It's like having a, you know, having an old house up there, you know, building a new house, and you have to, like, you know, go get a vehicle or thing or some kind of thing to, you know, to tear it down, destroy it. So you can build a new one and tear up the old foundation and get a new foundation, get all new piping, all new everything, all new everything. And I see you, you know, having that thing in your hand, and you're just tearing down tradition. You're tearing down, you know, God using you like a hammer to destroy the old. It's kind of where I gave Candace about destroying old things so people can move on with their future. They can move on to new things. They can build that new house, maybe the same property, maybe the same land. The land is not at fault. The land can't, you know, you can. The land is always going to be the land. But how the foundations of houses can be torn down and build a, you know, a house even on the same, you know, area, and build a whole new thing. Right. So I see God using you to you know, bring destruction to things that need to be destroyed. And some people can't move on with their life because, you know, they're still stuck on the old. They can't move on. They're stuck in the old. And God, you know, allowing you to swing that hammer, man, and just, you know, tear that stuff up. And the Bible says that the anointing to destroy destroys the yoke. And destroys means to totally obliterate it where it doesn't exist anymore. It's like you totally not just tearing down the house, but tearing up the foundation, all the piping, all the sewage lines, everything, and getting brand spanking new. So it's into this tearing down the old for you and God getting ready to build a whole new thing. And And then I guess maybe the next word maybe I'll give you, I don't know, I'm just kidding, but it'd be about having a hammer, you know, a claw hammer in your hand, you're building things. I'm not sure exactly, but God's trying to open you up to the need and the purpose for the anointing to destroy. You know, the prophets tear down and build up. And so that tear down to build up thing in you, and God is, in order for us to move into the future, not only for the Church of Jesus Christ, and where we're moving into the future now with this whole election thing that went on, Biden and all that, and this new era that we've entered into, there's going to be a lot of tearing down the old, because God's going to have us build things that are going to go into the millennium, literally to the millennium, not only mentally and spiritually, but in our beliefs, the fire of God's going to destroy things that are not of God. And that's a destructive power of fire. And the fire says, the Bible says, the fire destroys, you know, the wood, hay, and stubble. But the things that are made of gold, silver, and, you know, stones are not going to change. And so God is redesigning your life, redesigning your doing, redesigning everything for, and your whole thinking is going to be like, okay, God, whatever we build and we do now, the land we have, the things that we do, the house we have, our children, our future, everything we do, but this is going to go right into, this is never going to be torn down, never going to be burned. It's going to move right into the millennium. Yeah. Right. In Jesus' name. So we start thinking, we start tearing down the old thinking. We start thinking like, okay, God, you know, if Jesus Christ was, if I had a revelation that Jesus Christ can come back, you know, next week, what would I change? Nothing. I'm going to keep building my house. I'm going to keep it because, you know what? God told me to build this house. You know what I'm doing right now? God told me to do this. Why would I want to stop what God's telling me to do? Because what God's telling me to do, you think he's going to change his mind and say, oh, no, we're going to tear that down now. That's not moving into the millennium. No, he's going to say, hey, good job, thou good and faithful servant. What you built now, it's going to go through all the millennium, you know, so to speak. So we start changing the way we do everything, knowing that this is God's will. And God's will, it's not going to have to go, when it goes through the fire, it's not going to burn up nothing. Because the only thing that's going to be burned up is going to be the fire of God and the wrath of God, and all things going to burn up things that are not of God. But the things that are of God, it's going to perfect them. And your whole thinking about this and the way you do everything under the Lord, it's like, oh, God, if Jesus come back next week, most people say, if Jesus come back next week, you better just quit building that house. That's not important. It's important to save souls. Well, you ought to already probably be thinking about, you know, saving souls isn't all of it anyway. It's definitely extremely important. But doing the will of God in your life, doing what God's telling you to do. And if he's telling me to prophesy to the nations, he's not telling me to be an evangelist. Oh, you got to stop prophesying, Randy, and start being an evangelist now because Jesus comes back next week and he get everybody saved. Now, you know what? I'm either doing the will of God or I'm not. If I'm doing the will of God, then people are getting saved in many different ways, not just only confessing Jesus as Savior, but God's using me to save people from the fire by prophesying to them. God's using me to save people from the destruction that is to come because he's telling them to get rid of merchandising where they won't be coming under the judgment of God and lose everything they have. That's saving people. So this whole mentality and this thinking that we have that it's all about salvation. Yeah, it is, but salvation has many different aspects to it. You know, it's also preparing for the future, preparing for the millennium. Start thinking if God says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, we start thinking about the kingdom of heaven and how the kingdom works and how that God, Jesus is going to come back. Yeah, we're going to, you know, go through all this stuff. But we're going to also, you know, when Christ comes back, you know, he's going to come back and he's going to dwell on the earth. We're going to live on the earth for 1,000 years at least. And then after that, you know, whatever. We'll get some time to move, you know what I mean? And we're either doing the will of God or we're not. And our thinking is going to change. So, Jesus come back next week. We're going to stop everything and get people saved. And we've got to get in the will of God. Like, you weren't already in the will of God? You mean you're not already doing what God said? Well, the pressure is going to bring us to think about that more. But everything we're doing, we're going to, you know, so don't worry about your family anymore. You know, don't build that house, build something to take care of your kids and have your kids grow up in, you know, what difference does it make if Jesus come back? All those false doctrines, you know, like that stuff is nonsense. And God's going to tear it all down. He's going to say, I'm going to show you how to think. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to say, good job, Chris, over there in Texas. Yeah, good job. You and Chandler, you did a fine job. Good job over there, guys. Yep, you built what I wanted you to build. You're doing my will. Yeah. Awesome. Good job. Now I'm going to increase you and multiply you because, like he told the ones who, you know, did right with what they had, he said, I'm going to give you authority over 10 cities. You, 5 cities. That's where it's all going, dude. We got to get our doctrine right, man. These people got it all messed up. And it causes fear and craziness. Put the hammer to it, bro. And God will bless you in every kind of way. And I mean, yeah, houses, homes, money, you know, taking care of the poor and the needy. You know, and we do that. You know, PGN, we split up our offering this month and sent some to get people out of Afghanistan through a group that somebody turned me on to. And then the other two, you know, the big earthquake that happened, you know. So, you know, either are you doing the will of God or you ain't. If you ain't, all we got to do is ask him and he'll show us. It's not going to be about, you know, doing what people think. Anyway, we're going to get rid of that religious spirit, that's for sure, off of me, off of you, off all of us. We're all going to get free. All right, 863-268. You want to talk to you real quick?
Hey, Randy. It's Nikki from Florida.
All right. Hey, Nikki from Florida. All right. And thank you, Jesus, for Nikki and the whole crew. God, we just thank you, Father, for your peace and your glory and the manifestation of your love. And, Lord, we thank you. We pray for Russ tonight. Russ, which is Renee's husband. We've got to pray for Renee, too. I think I forgot to do that. Pray for Renee and Russ. Russ has had a real bout with COVID, and it's looking a little rough for him. Also, I know that Nikki and Charles have been dealing with that, too, with their family, and others have been texting me today. I don't know if I can say their names or not because they didn't tell me I could say their names, but there's stuff going on with COVID right now with some of our people even. And so we're going to pray for Russ and pray for Charles and pray for those that are struggling with this stuff in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the big thing here is that all this stuff tries to do to all of us. Me, I talked real clear the other night about when Julie told me she was tested positive, and they test them all the time, like two times a week, I think. And she had never been tested positive. And all of a sudden, she called me up on it. She said, because I knew they test them all the time, right? You know, with a COVID test. She says, I'm positive. I said, yeah. I said, you got any symptoms? She says, no, I don't have any symptoms, but can you come pick me up? Remember, I told that story the other day. I was just real honest with you. I'm going like, okay, you want me to come pick you up? You know, I'm going to meet with the President of the United States over here at Denny's, and we're going to have breakfast, you know, and I'll be lying about that, because, you know, I don't want to get in the truck with you. Well, can't you drive yourself home if you don't have any symptoms? And I was just being real honest about how I was feeling about all that. And I said, you know, and she tested me on that, man. That wasn't a test of love. That was a test of fear. She tested me for fear. Are you going to come pick me up? I'm thinking, if you're not having any, you're not feeling bad, why don't you go to CVS and get your own test. I'll just meet you over there. Instead of us riding in my truck together in that little cab, you know, and breathing in her new COVID, you know. I was just being honest about how I felt about that. I wouldn't pick her up anyway, and I never said anything, but I was thinking it, you know. It's like, come on, people got to get real about this thing. I was just really real about it, and I even with the air conditioner on, I rolled down my window, you know, so get some fresh air, stick my hand up there out the window, take deep breath. Yeah, so I wouldn't have to breathe her COVID breath. She didn't have enough respect for me to have a mask on. I was like going, girl, you know, you've just been tested positive for COVID. What is up with you? And so we went to CVS and got tested, both of us. You know, you pull to the window, you know, and they do all that whole thing and so we got our test days later. And sure enough, both of us were negative. But I mean, it was just, you know, it's scary. You know, it's scary. This thing is real. And so, you know, so I made it pretty good through that fear test, mostly, except for sticking my head out the window and trying to get as much air as I could and hold my breath in so I wouldn't breathe her COVID breath, you know, and get COVID. So it was crazy, man. And so I got a little dose of that. So it's you know, wow. So anyway, so we're praying for you guys in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord, for your grace on Nikki, God, and Charles. And she said Charles got hit pretty hard with it. And of course, Russell's been having a real problem with it, they said. And we thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood over him. That they get, you know, some of the Trump stuff. Trump had some great hydroxychloroquine and some other things they're putting out there. I think they made some of that illegal or whatever where they couldn't get it. But the sorry suckers, man, wasn't that mean of them to do that? So did I just say sorry suckers? I believe I just did. But it was pretty sorry of them to do that. But whatever medication you get, in Jesus' name, help them get those medications, Father. And, of course, we pray and we believe God in Jesus' name. I declare over their cellular realm, their genetic code, where that stuff can be conquered by their immune system becoming supernaturally activated at a level supernaturally to fight all that stuff. Our free medical. Free medical is our immune system. Jesus gave us, every human being, lost or saved, we all have immune systems. And that can help us or hurt us. And I speak activation in Jesus' name. I speak the blood of Jesus over Nikki and Charles. I speak the blood of Jesus over the family. I speak the blood of Jesus over Russ and the whole family in Jesus' name, and Renee in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Angela was given, she said, hi, Randy, I was told Psalm 91 for those with COVID. Yes, we just declare and decree Psalm 91 that it will not come near your dwelling. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, we just plead the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Angela, for that. And I declare and decree in Jesus' name, Father, that this whole thing about fear, that's where I was going with it earlier, the whole fear thing is very real. And so you can see how that God is allowing the church to, you know, witness this thing and see how the reality is. Like when they were in Egypt, when Israel was in Egypt and the plagues were coming, I mean, every day they're just like right next door to the plagues, and the plagues were coming over there, but they weren't quite making it into where, you know, Israel was in Goshen. Yes, right next door, but not actually not coming. It's like, oh, God. But then all of a sudden, on the last plague, he says, it's coming near you. So make sure you're walking in covenant and living in covenant. And so I thank you, Jesus, that your people are walking in covenant. Nick and Charles are walking in covenant. I thank you, Lord, that Russ and Renee are walking in your covenant in Jesus' name. And when that covenant is there, the blood of the doorpost, those plagues pass us by in Jesus' name. They go around us. We declare and decree that over their life in the name of Jesus. And that all this fear stuff going on, God's going to use this stuff to cause us to get right with God. And it's going to allow us to be squeezed in ways we've never been squeezed before on a regular basis. That is, not just a little here in the 911 again. It's going to be a lot more than that on a regular basis, 911 on a regular basis. You know, I just got to see what's really going on. That's what's really happening, 911 on a regular basis. And so, you know, so all that is bringing us to a state, Randy Chandler, Nikki and Charles, Russ and Renee, all of us to a place of repentance and getting right with you, God, being purified and cleansed and washed. We're going to be the most cleansed, washed church in the globe, man. We're going to be the global church is going to just cry out to God because this thing is getting real, it's getting heavy, and it's getting serious. And it's going to cause our church to step into an anointing we've never stepped into before. And I declare and decree that over Nikki and Charles and the family, Father, in Jesus' name, your precious blood over them. Amen and amen. All right, 214-326. Am I talking to Rick Crumpley?
Me. This is Renee in Texas.
Renee?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Renee. Okay. Was that Renee? Rest of Renee, I guess? She didn't say so. Maybe that's who it is. So maybe I didn't know it was you. So that is you. All right. So this is Renee with Russ and Renee?
This is Renee with Russ and Renee. Yes.
Okay, I'm just trying to
answer. Sorry.
Okay. Right.
With in Texas, right. Yes.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Okay, we're praying for you, girl. All right. I just want to make sure I didn't, you know, you had a 214 number and I didn't know. All the other family has, all their family is 469, I think. And 214, and that was you. Oh, God bless you. So here I was praying for you. I didn't even, honest to God, did not know that was you. Maybe, did you text me and let me know that was you? Might have. I believe you did. But I did not know. I didn't pay it. Yeah, okay. You did. I'm in the queue. Oh, so you were saying you were the one telling me that earlier. Oh, okay. God bless you. Sorry about that, Renee. Thank you, Jesus. It is live tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord, for what we're praying for Russ and Renee. We thank you, Lord, for that blood covenant. I tell you, Renee, we're going to walk in. God's going to show you and all of us. We've been teaching on this for several years, actually. Every Thursday, you do the blood of the doorpost about activating your covenant, freshly activated. Most Christians have argued with me over the years about this, not much, a little bit, saying, "Well, I'm already a Christian. I don't have to activate the covenant. I'm already covenant bought, covenant blood, covenant walking." But you know what? Back in those days, they had been covenant people in the days of Israel when they put the blood of the doorpost. They'd been covenant people for, around 400 years. Through Abraham, right? They were in Egypt for 400 years, 420 years, I think. And even before that, they were 200 years before that, something like that. Abraham, begat all the other people, and there they were in Egypt. About 500 to 600 years later, they were still covenant people. It's not that they weren't covenant. They were already covenant people. But God says, refresh the covenant. So put the blood of your doorpost, refresh it. Yes, I know you're already covenant people, but refresh the covenant. And walk in and become newly aware of the covenant of God, because in the last days, especially like the last plague, Renee, represents to me the last day plagues, and the last day plagues are going to come to our front doors to come, because it's going to come for everybody. That's the difference between the last plague. All the other plagues didn't come in Goshen near Israel. But there's a difference in the last plague. The last plague speaks of the last day's plagues. The way they're going to be is that they're going to come all over the globe. They're not just going to come in Egypt where they don't have a covenant of God. They're going to come into the covenant people. And if we haven't freshly put the covenant over our doorpost, we're going to have to do it. God's going to show us how to do it, and he's been showing me how to do it, and I've been teaching this for a long time because God says, refresh the covenant, refresh the covenant. So if they hadn't refreshed the covenant, if they just stood at the door in the end of this, about, you know me, man, my mama, my great-great-grandma, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he says, no, I told you to put the blood on the doorpost. Well, that's about covenant. That's about, we're our covenant people. But there was no arguing about that. They just did it, right? And then when the angel of death came, he came to their house. To see if they had, not to see if they were covenant people, he already knew they were covenant people, to see if they had done what God said and refreshed that covenant with God. And because they did, then the angel of death passed over them. And those who didn't, even if they would have been Israelites, if they hadn't put the blood on their post, that family, would have perished, or the firstborn would have perished, and the firstborn animals. So that's this whole theme, God, is we are about to find out what covenant is and what covenant people are. And I'm not sure most of us Christians have really been, we are covenant people, but we don't understand why we have to refresh that covenant and why Jesus said, take communion, and Paul the Apostle confirmed in 1 Corinthians 11 to keep taking communion. That this, the Lord Jesus on the night he was betrayed, he told me that this is good. So keep doing it. Why? Because it activates the covenant. And I didn't know any of that stuff until a few years ago. God, for changing all of it. So I thank you, Lord, that Russ and Renee are covenant people, God, in Jesus' name. We don't understand everything. We don't understand why some Christians are dying, why some Christians are living. But whatever, as we move into this new era, Father, we're going to find out about the covenant and being covenant people like never before. And you're about to awaken us to the covenant and why it's important to have a fresh awareness and a fresh renewal of that blood covenant with God. Because, like I said, Israel had been for 500-600 years covenant people, but God said refresh it. If they hadn't, they would have died. God would have, that wrath would have come to them. But it didn't, because of the blood of the doorpost. So I thank you, Jesus, for your teaching your people this now, and we're learning this. I pray to God it's not too late for some of us to. So we thank you, Jesus, that Russ and Renee, we declare and decree Psalm 91, like Angela sent me, in Jesus' name, covered by the blood, washed in the blood, renewing that fresh blood covenant, God, to remind ourselves that this is God's stuff. And we do what God says, and when you have a covenant with somebody, what they have becomes yours, and what you have becomes theirs when they need it. And so I thank you, Lord, that Russ and Ray have lived like that. Whatever you needed from them, they gave it to you. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, for blessing them for that, keeping them and watching over them, God, as an example of your blood covenant people, your protection, your Psalms 91 people, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, that we're gonna watch the reward of the wicked with our own eyes, because God's going to give them every chance, every opportunity. And when they say no enough, then there's going to be a time where that's going to be it, done, finished, over, and judgment will begin with the wicked. And that's going to be a rough time. And I thank you, Jesus, for blessing them, providing for them, God, because your covenant is your provision. Your covenant is a reminder that you paid for all this. You paid it on the cross. You gave your life for us, Jesus, and everything we need, from our healing to our protection to our finances, you gave us in Jesus' name. Bless that family, God, in Jesus' name. Take care of them. Watch over them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. 903-808. You want to talk to you about something, please?
Hi, this is Janie from Texas.
Hey, Jeannie. Jeannie's one of our hosts on PTN. Every Monday you can listen to Jeannie. Tuesdays is Deborah. Wednesdays is Terrence and Tanisha. Fridays, you never know who's going to be on Fridays. Sometimes LaShawn, other people, have Terrence and Tanisha also do Sunday nights. And, we have different people that do sometimes Saturdays. Angela Joy does a great job. All of them do a great job. We thank you, Jesus, for all the hosts. We just give. I thank you, Lord, for your reward. Father, I thank you for the rewards, Lord, for Jeannie serving you. For Jeannie, we do something every week. I'm telling you, it's one thing to talk about. Yeah, God, I'll do whatever you want. It's a whole other thing when you start doing it and you start growing and learning and entering into that new place with the Lord, where we start being a servant in a literal sense of washing the feet of God's people and learning to be faithful with, like David's brothers told him, he said, go take care of those few sheep in the wilderness. And that's what David did. He was faithful with the little bit that God gave him, and that's what made him powerful. So thank you, Jesus, for Jeannie, that God, the heart of David in her, that worshiper in her, that person in her that will be faithful to you with the little that you give her, and in Jesus' name, so that we can enter into, go from the little things into the big things. Because if you're not faithful in the little things, you're never going to receive the big things. And I thank you, God, that she's been faithful in the little things, and that you're opening up the big things. You're opening up the things for her, the opening up wide the door, in Jesus' name, for salvations. For salvation, salvation isn't just getting people born again. Salvation is opening up the door for God to save people in many different fashions, in many different forms. And I thank you, Jesus, for showing Jeannie all the different forms and ways that you save people. In Jesus' name, you save them in their physical bodies by healing them. You save them in their money realm by blessing their finances. You save them in their minds by renewing their minds and moving them from double-mindedness to single-mindedness. You save them by engrafting the Word of God, the saving of the soul, in Jesus' name, of the believer. So there's so many different ways salvation comes, Father. And I ask you to open that up to Jeannie in ways she's never seen, but an anointing for salvation, for souls, not just souls getting born again, but for souls of all kinds, being washed and cleansed in Jesus by your power and by your blood, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Open up that door wide in the name of Jesus. Open it up wide, the double doors, that double blessing. And God, for her service to you, Jesus, even like here on PGN and other ways that she serves you, that I speak over her life, the reward systems of heaven open up for her, making a way for her where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Where there seems to be no way, God, making a way
where there seems to be no way. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Open up a way where there seems to be no way, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Makari, Manoa, Tocheri, Pakwari, Meshike, Chichi, Kupana, Pani, Menishi, Kuchawa, Ele, Haripora, Hatere, Kunshede. Yeah, you know, it's like when Joshua got that new priestly garment. I see you like getting a new garment on, God giving you a new garment. And maybe got it on already, and it's like, you know, it's been activated, so to speak. There's something about that garment, that salvation garment of salvation in every level, spirit, soul, body, of which you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. That whole thing about the soul prosperity. The reason most people don't prosper, Jeannie, is because their souls are not prospering. Their souls are not growing. And so God drawing you into that place of imparting the salvation of the soul so it can prosper and be in health and literally prosper financially and be in health, being healthy emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, in all those ways, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for that impartation, God, that you put on her when she was younger about salvation. Maybe she didn't know what that was. She might have thought it was just salvation with being born again or salvation like an evangelist does. But Lord, that salvation is for the whole being, to make people whole again. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, amen. All right. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Oh, she iki mahat. Riporoho pataro. Shikin da hu. Jeannie, thank you very much. All right, let's go to, let me make sure I can still hear. Give me a second. Give me just a second. I'm going to turn it. All right, that was me. All right, let's go here to 803-991.
Hi, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Oh, yes, thank you. I had something turned off. Thank you for letting me know that. I was going along there. Yeah, because what I was talking about here was that God, you know, dealing with people. Yeah, thank you. Dealing with people that God giving an anointing to, that while all this fear stuff is going on, with COVID, with the threat of the vaccine, you know, going to make us get the vaccine and going to, you know, all this whole thing is bringing to light the fears that we have inside of us, and then also the fears that are on the outside of us, the fears on the outside trying to get in to get us to succumb to those fears, to get them in us, to get us worried and anxiety, and but also to the fears that are already in us, to go, man, I have that fear in me. Oh, my gosh. And the fears in us, then it opens us up to the possibility of, you know, some part of the plague coming to us. Because when you cut covenant with God, you know, what cutting covenant with God means is that you go through the process of, you know, trusting Him. And when you trust Him, you quit fearing. So when you quit fearing, then an angel, kind of like a dog sniffing fear, you know, a demon sniffs fear in you, you know, he'll harass you in a moment. So God's showing you how to get the fear out of people, that the fear's already in them, and keep the fears that are on the outside of them trying to get in them from getting inside them, and to renewing the mind, and to showing you how to, you know, pray and believe God even for yourself and for everybody, that that those fears, because in the last days, men's hearts are going to fail them for what? For fear, because of fear. Their hearts are going to fail them for fear. And you can see, Angela, already that this is starting to happen. People are, fear is coming on them like never before, and it's called the pressing of Gethsemane. The Gethsemane represents the thing that presses down and presses out the juice out of the olive, you know, the oil out of the olive, and that whole thing. And so, but that it's all fear. The disciples, Peter freaked out and
feared. And what did he do when he feared? He denied Jesus. So that's what fear does. It doesn't mean he lost his salvation. It doesn't mean that he was, but he started realizing, man, I got that fear inside of me. Oh, my God. I got a systemic belief in me that Jesus, the Messiah, is not going to die. He's going to live on reign on the throne of David. And so I misunderstood that. And that opened up the door, you know, for me to deny the Lord. Oh, my gosh. You know, I got to get help with that. I got to change. I got to, you know, get what God's word really says and what God's word really means and get that in me and start changing, because people are going to find out that the things that they believe that are a wrong belief, like Peter believed, like most God-fearing, loving, wonderful Jewish people that were probably about as perfect as you can get in the flesh, teaching that stuff about Jesus, when the Messiah comes, he's going to rule on the throne of David. I mean, that was not a bunch of bad people, hypocrites, liars, and cheaters teaching that stuff. No, these were good people. And because they did, you know, so it was hard for him to get free of that, even to fighting with Jesus about it. So, but that also opened him up to, open Peter up to failure. And people are going to find out, Angela, that all this stuff, all these things that we have believed, where we have not renewed our mind according to the word of God and the word of the Lord, that it's going to open them up to fear. Fear that the enemy can sniff out. Because when you believe that Jesus isn't going to die, the Messiah is not going to die, he's going to live, and all of a sudden you see your friend, Messiah, you know, standing in front of there fixing to be crucified, you're going like, man, you know, and so you deny him, right? Because you believe wrong. You see it wrong. And this is what God is doing. He's bringing in this whole thing. He wants to show you and do a work in you and reveal in you that what God says, not what wonderful God-fearing preachers are saying that may have lived really great lives, but they're still preaching Scripture and giving all the Scripture for it, but it has all the wrong meanings, which leads people the wrong direction, which leads them down to a path to the ditch, basically. And they fail and they falter. God says, I want to change all that because it's going to be all error. Yeah. Like there's not, I start calling the new era, was because it sounds a lot less like you're saying error, but the error that people are in, I've talked about this before already, but the era, it's not going to be a new era, it's going to be the same old errors, and the same old errors that they've lived in, like Peter did, you know, through all the wonderful teachings from the wonderful people, still wrong, that messes them up, and people who are going to let God renew their mind and start changing all that stuff, then they're going to, when the pressure comes, when they get squeezed, the oil's going to come out. The glory's going to come out. When those who have all those wrong teachings in them, they're going to, what's going to come out of them is denial. Fear. Fear. He denied Jesus because he was afraid. All of a sudden he became afraid because he didn't have anything to stand on. Because what he believed about the Messiah was not true. Therefore, he succumbed to fear, and fear squished him, and nothing came out but denial. So that's what God's doing with the body of Christ, and God is going to really open your eyes for that, so you can, you know, become a servant of God in that, and know that that's the purpose of the spirit of revelation and the prophets, and everything God's doing with the prophets and the spirit of revelation is, you know, for that very reason, to change the minds of God's people. You keep writing the word error. It's era, E-R-A. Is that what you mean? I don't know what you mean by it. You're saying a new error. Era? Is that a play on words, or are you just... I mean, I'm being serious. I don't understand what you're doing. It's E-R-A. Plain words. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. I wasn't sure. I thought you might be doing that, but I gotcha. Okay. Cool. All right. My next caller tonight, thank you, Angela. God's really going to have you be, you're going to be a part of that. It's going to be a great move of God, because it's going to be a revolutionary revelation. Revelation, revolution. Yeah, God wants you to be a part of the revolution of revelation, getting revelation from heaven instead of a man's misinterpretation of our wonderful Word of God, and therefore bringing people into the spirit of error instead of the new era. All right, 940-224, who may I talk to you where you come, please? All right, 940-224. Yeah, who may I talk to you where you come, please?
This is Michael from Texas.
Okay, man. All right, Michael. Okay, I think this is Renee. This is Renee. Renee, with some of you don't know who, not familiar with these people, but this Renee and her husband is in the hospital, and she says with COVID, says thank you, Randy. This is similar to the last word you gave us. Oh, really? About the COVID? Oh, you know, wow, awesome. That's cool. I see myself sneaking some wine into his room and wiping it all over him. Oh, tomorrow. I like that. When you are all done, let me know how to donate. Okay. Yeah, let's go to, that's awesome. Going to get some new, going to get some wine, like new wine, huh? I love that idea. That is, that's absolutely, that is awesome. That is, I really like that a lot. That's really cool. All right, and here's our website right there. She's asking if she can donate. Of course. If you want to do that, it would be great. Then I'm going to get it to you right here. Renee, thank you for that. She's asking about how to donate. Whoops. Okay, I'm sending it to you. There you go. All right. Thank you, Renee. What a great idea. I love that. She's going to get some wine and wipe it on him, all over him. I love it. That's some sweet Jesus stuff there. That's cool. All right. Yeah, she's getting thumbs up and high-fiving. Yeah, that I like that. That's hallelujah. Let me know how that goes. Oh, Jesus. Thank you. That's awesome. Maybe I missed. Okay, I think I missed 847. 847, I think I missed you. I'm going to do 940 first, and they'll come back and get you, okay? All right, 940, Michael from Texas. Thank you, Michael, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what fascinates you, your fascination, what you get fascinated with, you know, your imagination realm. You know, God has to do a work in our imagination. Our imagination is a part of us that can just go run wild with something. But when you run wild with Jesus in your imagination, you know, then you can picture yourself with, you know, the most beautiful girl in the whole world, and, you know, she loves you and you love her. You know, nothing wrong with that. You know, dreaming big, and yet, you know, so your imagination can think of the most greatest, most wonderful things, as well as the most negative, horrible things, right? Yeah, our imagination can do that. But I see God wanting to use your imagination to give you, you know, the greatest and the best, and literally from God, exceedingly abundantly above all you could actually think or even imagine, and then give you a plan on how to move forward in that, how to go to, like, putting the bar up high and saying, this is where I want you to go. And then, like Paul the Apostle said, well, he hadn't attained to it, but, man, he got closer and closer because the bar was set pretty high with him, right? And he, and so he said, I haven't attained yet, but I'm on my way. Because God, in his imagination, God showed Paul where he could go, where he could be. He was caught up into the heavens, right? Into body or out of body, he didn't know. But he saw things, you know, that he couldn't even talk about. It was a little amazing. So God set the bar. His imagination was caught up into the heavens, and he saw things. So it gave him, you know, the perfection of everything. I don't know if he never made it to that perfection that he saw, but he was able to head toward that. And so sometimes God needs to give us something to move forward to, you know, to look forward to a destiny, a purpose, and then give us a design on how to do it. So thank you, Jesus, for that with Michael. In Jesus' name, you show him, you know, show him the highest, show him the greatest, like he did Paul, and then let him then start giving him a plan in a way and a purpose and a desire and a passion to actually start heading toward that. Amen. Give him something to live for. Amen. As well as die for. Because when you're willing to live for what God has been for, you're willing to die for it too. Amen. So it's a beautiful thing. All right, 847-505. Who am I talking to you from, please? Are you there? All right, I think that's Marja.
Hello?
All right, Marja. Yes, Marja, I think I got you there. Sorry. Yes, I got you. I was just muting you when you came on. I figured out that was you. So, Marja, thank you, Marja. Is there anything special you want to pray about? You didn't say, Okay. Thank you, Marja. All right. Yes. All right. Okay, I'm sending you okay. Thank you. All right, Marja. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for, you know, it's like all your life you wanted to be a part of the main thing. You know, like in high school, there were these, you know, cliques, and some of the cliques, they were pretty cool people. But, you know, the cliques, the popular cliques and the people that were the, you know, smart people and the athletic people. And I was an athlete, but I wasn't the smartest person in the world. But I was a, you know, the home run hitter, you know, in baseball and, you know, was, you know, an athlete that was going to go play college and maybe professional ball. I was an athlete, but I wasn't. So I wasn't really part of their cliques, but I always kind of wished I could have been, you know. And be part of things that are important, and be part of things, and be right in the middle of, and be actually part of something that means something, that has purpose to it. And I see that you know, that's been a part of your life, a part of your desire, part of your passion. And maybe you've given up on that. I don't know. I kind of gave up on it, well, but even to this day. But now today, I actually feel like, Marja, that I'm part of that end time. I'm part of the end time thing, man. I mean, we're like heading this. In many ways, you know, prophetically, we're heading this. We're at the head of the line here on this thing, you know, by the grace of God, it's by His grace. But we're at the head of the line on some stuff here. I mean, this is amazing. And as far as the world turning events, I mean, we're telling people, you know, God's showing us what's going on. We're like right in there. We're there, and it's like you're part of that. It's like your God is making you feel like you're part of something that's actually, you know, extremely important, you know, to Him, not just to people, not just some man-pleasing thing, but a God thing, and God connecting you to that and a part of that and making Him, making you feel like you're a part of that and you actually are, you know, one of the acting, action people that are doing something to make it work. And so God's really going to show you that, you know, He's designed you for that. You have been designed for that. And so thank you, Jesus, for opening Marge up to that and showing her, God, that this is that time and this is the season and this is the place you've placed her in to be a part of an action part of what God is doing in the earth in a big time way. And how the honor that we feel and the gratitude we feel that you called us and chosen us to do this thing is just amazing. And God, just amazing you with His, showing you His favor, Marja, that He's chosen you for such a time as this. And to be part of the group, if you will, of the, you know, the clique. It's not really a clique, but you know what I mean. that is in the forefront of what God is doing. Even though people don't, not everybody's acknowledging it, you know, at this point, which doesn't really matter, but we know God is because of what He's telling us and what's going on and what's happening. It's obvious that we're, you know, at the top of the line on this thing with what God is doing. And, you know, so it's a privilege and an honor and a glory. And because of that, God's going to bless us. He's going to bless His people who live in that place. You know, we're not having to repent of merchandising. You know, I already did that. We're not having to repent of a lot of things. I mean, we're God is showing us what's going on and what's happening precisely. We're not going to be like Peter, Margaret, rebuking Jesus, saying you can't die, because I know I've been taught all these years that you're going to reign over the throne of brother David, and you got to do this because, you know, I'm going to see death there with you. You know, because he wanted to be part of the, you know, and he was part of the thing. But he didn't understand the thing. And Jesus had to say, hey, you don't understand. You're not thinking about what God's doing. You think about what man's doing. So even though Jesus' thing was being rejected, even by his own people, it was the main thing. It was the thing. Nobody else could see it. He was being rejected and despised of men. But yet in God's eyes, it was the thing, man. This was the era. This was a transition time. And Peter was right in the middle of it, man. Yeah. And that's what God's saying to you. It's a beautiful thing. So, and God's going to bless you in many different ways for it and give you favor. And amen. All right. 720-819, who I talk to you right from, please?
Jeff and Uke.
Hey, it's Yuki from the Jeff and Uke clan. Clan, is that the right word, clan? Yes, it is. The clan. The clansmen. Is that good? Klansman? I think Klansman is cool. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for pulling back the curtain on the people that have been hurting. Pulling back the curtain on the people that have been hurting, the rejected people, the people that are despised. Because Yuki, God's getting ready to bring in the people that have been, you know, discounted, despised. Like, you know, hey, you know. In other words, God's bringing in a whole new crew, and he's pulling back the curtain just for you to see the hurting, to see those that have been rejected, despised, and different cultures that are just, according to most Christian standards, are just like, man, this is far out there. They don't got a chance. You know, God's going to use you, and God's going to, in your prayer and your drawing them in into God to see things the way God sees them, as all nations, all cultures coming to Christ and making Christ their Messiah and their Lord, and not just, you know, Buddha and Huda and whoever, all the other things, you know, in Jesus' name. So God's giving you, you know, an understanding, a compassion for them. And so because we think if they don't have the American culture God, that, you know, they just don't have God. Right, but you're going to see it differently. You're going to see the whole thing differently. The way we have, you know, seen that, we compare, you know, other nations and people of other cultures and other languages, and the way they've gotten it is that they ain't got it right until they do it like Americans do it. And God's going to totally change all of that. That it's not about America. It's not about America. It's not going to save the world. America is not going to be the biggest, baddest, most Christian nation in the world. God's going to have a world, a global nation of God's people, as well as the Antichrist is going to have his people too. And all of us are going to be all over the world. Yeah, and connected by internet, by radio, by TV, by, you know, phones, by all these things. We're going to be connected, and God's going to connect you guys. You're going to be connected to all that, and break that mold of what we think. What American Christians think that, you know, Christianity is. God's going to change the whole culture of all that, the way we see it, the way it is, and embrace a whole other, in other words, old things are going to pass away, build a new thing. I'm not saying America's not saved. We are, people that are saved to the bone, man. We've been a great nation. It's been an amazing thing. We're givers. We love the nation. We love the globe. We love the world. We want to help them, but we've kind of moved into a lot of pride, I think. And God's going to and so pride comes with a lot of failure and a lot of misrepresentations of God. And so therefore God's going to humble America, and we're going to become a Christian nation that's going to look completely different. And all the globe, the whole world is going to see, we're all going to be one and know that God is going to make us one by the power of Jesus Christ and by his blood. How it's going to be absolutely amazing. God's given you, if you will, a calling to that. And it's going to take money, and it's going to take understanding. It's going to take being able to change. It's like something in you has known that something's not right about all this, but, you know, it's got some foundational things right. Man, the way they're building it, it's just not it's not lining up right. And you're right, and it hasn't been. And God's going through, you know, the foundation of Jesus Christ, of course, no way about it, but the other way about that, that always has to be. But the way it's been built, it's been being built in vain with the labors of men, and therefore that's why a lot of it's going to fall apart, because we've had democracy, Christianity, instead of Yeshua, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, kingdom being built. Amen. So that's a whole different look. We're trying to give the kingdom of God building, if you will, like we're going to build a capital for Jesus. We'd build it according to the American style. But God says, no, you're going to build it like the Jewish style, if you will, or the style of, you know, something completely different. And wow, where am I going with this? I don't know. But thank you, Jesus, for opening them up, for Jeff up, God, for Jeff and this whole thing about the business realm and the connecting of the business world and the money realm and the whole thing of setting up a kingdom under knowing that something that Jesus can rule and reign over. You know, set up financial and the new way God's going to do things. Most people are going to reject it because they're going to go like, man, I don't, you know, you're not doing it according to our pattern. Well, but I'm doing it according to the pattern the Lord gave me. And I thank you, Lord, that Jeff is going to do things according to the pattern that you've given him, that you're showing him. Because God gives you patterns of things. Gives you, you know, like when Moses got the pattern of the tabernacle, you know, it was, you know, things that nobody had seen before, nobody had never known before, you know, and he had a propensity toward that, of being like that, you know. And so do you. You have a propensity toward being, you know, patterns and things that haven't been seen before, known before, you know, and then causing those things to, you know, actually manifest and become real. That's what God used Moses to transfer heavenly information and bring a heavenly tabernacle, which had never been seen before, never been known before, brought into the earth, and everybody went, wow, this is what God's, and it was a pattern of what was in heaven. Somehow or another, that's what it said. So the patterns, the things that, like, when geniuses, you know, think something, people just think, man, that's crazy, you can't do that. But they already see it done. Why? Because their mind is made to see it. Now, it's a matter of, it may take some years to produce it, make it work. But, you know, some of Einstein's theories were never totally proven. I mean, most people think they're still right, but it's just, for some reason, you know, a lot of them have been developed. Some of them have been developed, but a lot of them haven't. Yeah, so anyway, you see what I'm saying? So God, open up their minds. Let them see. You're totally giving us a whole new view on the kingdom of God, money, and how we look at it, and how we look at wealth, and how we look at, you know, the structures of, you know, our businesses, and how we can structure them according to the kingdom of God, where they can't crumble, where they can't be crushed, where they can't be taken over, can't be stopped, can't be, you know, taken over by the enemy, can't be taken away from us by the enemy. Because what's built in heaven is built with that protection on it, where it can't rust, it can't be corrupted, it can't be, like I said, what you lay not treasures up on earth, but in heaven, where there's no rust, where there's no corruption, where the thief can't steal. So what we build in the earth, we build with that kingdom thinking, and it can't be corrupted. It can't be stolen or robbed or taken. It's built for the millennium. It's built forever in the earth. I've heard the craziest words out of you, man. What's up with all that? But All right, 972-695. What time is it getting to be? 11:30. All right, 972-695. They may already be gone. I don't know. This is Terrence and Tanisha. They have been busy with their new house, so maybe they've got the phone. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence and Tanisha. God, I thank you, Father, for the broken hearts, for the broken heart. God's really giving you, Tanisha, a thing for broken hearts, for broken promises, for all the things that bring fear and that bring torment to people, that bring insecurity. And the enemy trying to bring instability to, you know, families and people, and God showing you how to reverse the curse in that and those things. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, to stabilize people, to get people, you know, that says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways or her ways. You know, so that double-minded man, you know, being unstable in his ways. So God's showing you that the single mind, how to be single-minded, to be single-focused on God and what God's purpose is. Some people are single-minded, but they're single-minded on the wrong thing. So being single-minded on what God has, you know, so it says the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And that's what we're going to see. The Christianity world that is double-minded and, you know, mixed up, confused, even doctrinally, that God's going to get us single-minded. If we're single, you know, 10 single-minded people standing together are going to be powerful. You know, it doesn't take, we don't have to have 10, but when God takes single-minded people who are totally bent on Jesus and they got a relationship with Jesus that's independent of anybody else, and they totally trust in him all by themselves, and they don't have to have somebody else. They got God, and that's the way God is building every one of us. But when I got saved, I didn't get saved because it was somebody else or through somebody else. I got saved between me and the Father and I, we have a relationship. And those people who are single-minded in relationship with God, you know, they don't need nobody else, but yet God wants to bring them other people that are single-minded too, that have the kind of relationship where what God puts together, let no man put asunder, meaning that with anybody, in any kind of realm of relationship or business or friendship, whatever, when you bring people that are single-minded to a God, they're not going to fail. They're not going to be opened up for, being broken apart or torn apart, but to be unified and single-minded, single purpose. And therefore, the enemy can't get in and divide through somebody having a different motive or different purpose or something. But our motives and our intentions are all going to be set apart into the Lord. And even though we independently could be like Moses or like Elijah or whoever else, you know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, then individuals who turned the world around in their days and prophesied the future, just took one person. But you get a bunch of those people that are sanctified and set apart, and they're singly minded for God. You get a few of those together. Oh man, what they're going to do, and that's what it's going to take. But what they're going to do is they're going to change the face of Christianity. They're going to change the face of the world. They're going to change the face of what God does things. Amen. In Jesus' name. And just like the disciples did, once they all got focused on one single thing, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, and they willingly lay their life down for him, that one single purpose brought them, made them powerful, powerful people. To this day, we're still trying to live up to what they understood and what they knew in their dedication to God. And God's opening you up to that in Jesus' name, to breathe that into people's lives. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, Terrence, thank you, Lord, for Terrence, God. I thank you, Lord, for Terrence. I thank you for the faithful and the loyal, God, that you're going to show Terrence more and more how what the faithful and the loyal mean. That it's about being faithful to God and loyal to God and doing what he says. And when we do that, just like with me when I was, you know, with my pastor, I was with my pastor for like, you know, 10 years. And being used, I was used for 10 years in his ministry. He called on me almost every service. And I was there four nights a week, believe that or not. Well, three nights a week, and then one day, it was Sunday morning. And there all the time, and serving God, you know, and was just like, you know, learning how to be faithful to God in a thing. And because a lot of people are faithful, not faithful to God in a thing. You know, God calls them to be faithful to him in a business, in a marriage, in a ministry, in a calling, whatever that thing is, and that we find that that's where we really truly become loyal and faithful to God in a practical way where it manifests in our everyday life. And that faithfulness and that loyalty, he's going to say, thou good and faithful, I hear the Lord saying, thou good and faithful servant. He's going to call you his good and faithful servant because you learn how to do that. You're learning how to be faithful and loyal, you know, in a practical sense, but yet super heavenly to God and yet natural, you know, to the things God has called you to do, and in Jesus' name. And because of that, you know, I see the Lord just saying, you know, that's my good and faithful servant. But now, good and, he called Jesus his, said, you know, that's my beloved son who I'm well pleased, you know, my good and faithful servant. And that's a desire of your heart, is to be the good and faithful servant that God had made. And so Jesus had to learn how to, you know, as a young boy, had to learn how to be faithful to his mama, honor his mother. Yet he was the son of God, you know, all the stories she told him about who he was, on and on. And then Joseph being faithful and working with him, making furniture, being all that, God used all that to work in him this practical, complete loyalty and faithfulness to God, which made him look very faithful and loyal to his mother. Very, very faithful. But it came time, he said, man, my mother and brothers, those who hear the word of God, do it. And his faithfulness was to God. And if somebody else didn't want to be faithful, you know, that if God says, you know, they'll be faithful to that, that's what he would do. And so his faithfulness to God was you know, very practical and very real in the real world. Most people's really is not. Yeah. So it takes a real work of God to do that. Love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself. It's like, you know, also too, you said, if you can, how can you say you love God and don't love your brother? It's the same way. How can you say you're faithful and loyal to God when you don't, not faithful and loyal to those he calls you to? And that once we get that balance, then the supernatural power of God flows through it. Yeah, in success, in good success. All right. 9720682.
Randy, Mike, and Veronica.
Hey, Mike and Veronica. All right, guys. Good to have you guys. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for that the spirit of gratitude, God, that thankfulness, God. As I see, you know, God's always given you, Mike, that thing of being able to be grateful for what you've gone through, and you've been able to look back and go, man, if I hadn't gone through that, grown through that and worked through that. And I see, just like Joseph entered through this place of gratitude and thankfulness, you know, even to the point of where his brothers had rejected him and, you know, betrayed him basically. And you know, but yet at the same time, it was all God, you know. So that's what's so weird about the whole thing, is that all the things that have gone so crazy, he saw them as, it basically took a long time to do that, but he started seeing it, man, that, you know, man, the devil really tried to get in there, but God, you did all that for my good. You did every bit of that for my good. Oh, my gosh. I was mad about it. I was angry about it. I was like, frustrated. Like, when am I going to ever get back to my mom and my daddy, or my daddy? And for my dreams, my vision is going to come to pass that. When am I going to ever get back there? And all of a sudden, you know, when things start happening, he starts seeing how God, he could rest in that God had taken him where he was supposed to be, even when he didn't have a clue. You know, he's just kind of like blindly following the Lord. And when he would, you know, all of a sudden they're saying things about him. You know, he got thrown in prison, the whole thing. So the spirit of gratitude toward God, of saying, God, thank you for not letting me go places I wasn't supposed to go. Thank you for not letting me go back to, you know, to the land of Canaan where I thought my dream was going to come about. Thank you, God. I see you just being thankful. Thank you, God, that, you know, I was trying to mess that up, thinking I was trying to do the right thing, and you saved me, and you helped me, and you gave me grace, and you gave me favor, and I thank you that you watched over me, and that your calling over me was greater than what I thought my calling was. And though he saw it, he knew it, but the reality of it was completely different than what he thought, much greater than what he thought. And I thank you, Lord, for the great gratitude that Mike has as he walked into this place, Jesus, of seeing how you kept him and watched him and kept him going in the path that he's supposed to go, in spite of himself, in spite of, you know, like Joseph. Joseph, you know, was angry when he got thrown in prison. He was like, angry when his brothers threw him out. He went through that thing. He was very real about it. You know, I think Joseph was very real about that. And so, you know, God had to, you know, work with him in that, and he, because he had such a heart for God, and he kept being faithful to God regardless of what circumstance he was in, because he knew that the dream he had was from God, and being faithful to God in the prison and faithful to God and all the rejections that was what was going to get him, was what was eventually going to get him to that place where that dream was going to pass. He just didn't know where it was going to be. Even when he was in prison, he still didn't know it was going to be the Pharaoh. He didn't have a clue it was going to be a Pharaoh. He kept thinking faithful to God in this prison for however many years, because my faithfulness to God is what's going to make this thing come to pass, which he thought would go back to Canaan and be the best farmer in town. But his faithfulness to God, to God's dream he gave him, is what graciously brought him to the place to where it came to pass, in spite of what he thought it meant. And he's thankful for that. He's grateful. He's saying, God, I didn't realize it'd be this big. Oh, my God, this is amazing. Thank you, Jesus. And so the gratitude of God in you, and knowing that he's with you, and that we can trust and rest in the fact that if we don't always think it right, get it right, he's going to make sure that we get there anyway. Yeah. In spite of ourselves, in spite of our misunderstanding, in spite of our coming short, in spite of the times that we get upset and, you know, falter and fail, like, God, you know, what are you doing? I'm getting tired of this. And he says, just be patient, you know, keep being faithful. And he was, and it came to pass. It was amazing. All right, and Veronica, thank you, Jesus, for Veronica, God. I thank you, Lord, for Veronica, God, that you're teaching her how to be submissive to you, Father, and as a father. That what true submission is. It's not just being submitted to a person, it's being submitted to God. And when you submit it to God, you find that God protects you, God keeps you, he provides for you. It's like your submission to him is what he, you know, like Mary, when Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and, you know, Martha was over there working, but, you know, she had such a heart to sit before the shepherd and drink in the shepherdness of Jesus, and that shepherd heart that Mary had. She didn't really understand it, but she just couldn't quite, you know, she was able to sit and rest at his feet and learn from him. And I see you in this place of sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning that submission that she had wasn't like, okay, Jesus, what are you going to do for you? What are you going to do for you? It was like, teach me what you know. Show me your stuff. Speak to me. Speak your life in me. Teach me. Show me. And she and Jesus rebuked Martha and said, well, she's chosen the greater thing. And I thank you, Lord, that Veronica chooses the greater thing, to sit at your feet and learn, to submit to you. To sit at your feet is like submission and yieldedness. And I thank you, Lord, you're going to show her what that really is. And when she submits and yields to you, Father, that it means that you're going to teach her. You're teaching her things that other people that are busy, don't get it. And I thank you, Lord, that you give her the peace and the grace to sit at the shepherd's feet and learn the ways of a shepherd. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, to take care of the flock. And to receive revelation from heaven and learn the ways of God at the feet of the master of every disaster. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, 525-53, I think this is, hello? Can I talk to Ruth, please? All right, 525-530. Okay, Christina, I think it's you, Christina. Pretty sure that's Christina from Mexico. Thank you, Christina. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that salve and that anointing, God, that salve and that anointing to rub all over her, that you're rubbing all over her a salve that is that's melting. Like I see this salve melting things in you that where you've had to be tough, where you've had to be, you know, like I see you going from, you know, there's sometimes we have to be tough. Love is tough. Tough love is tough. And you go from tough love to a new place of feeling like God is, you're being protected by the Lord, and you're being protected by him, where it's not you that has to be tough, but it's that he's going to be tough. He's going to be tough in you or through you or something. I don't know what I'm saying. He's going to show you how you've been tough,
you know, to protect yourself and keep yourself from, you know, different things. But God says, I see you enter into a whole other relationship with the Lord to where you see that he's totally protecting you, totally keeping you, totally watching over you in a way that you've never seen or known before. And it's going to cause your heart to be so soft and so tender. You're going to think, man, I thought I was tender before. I thought I was soft. I thought I was a softy before. Now it's like, wow. And I see this tenderness in you becoming so powerful and so strong and so dominating that tenderness and that tenderness of Jesus, that even when you have to be, when you're being tough, you have to be tough. Tough love is tough love. But it's going to be such tenderness. And it's the new shepherd's heart of Jesus being put into your heart. God is putting the shepherd's heart inside you and showing you that, the tenderness of Jesus. And sometimes when he's even tough on people, that it's such tenderness that people totally misunderstand what God is doing. They think they're getting by with stuff. They think that, you know, but they don't realize that it's just the tenderness of Jesus. He's just such a tender, he's a tender person, very tender-hearted. And I thank you, Jesus, for that with my sister, God, and that you melting her heart. I see God, I see this salve, whatever the salve is, like melting your heart and softening your spirit, your heart, to a whole other level of softness, which is yieldedness, which is sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Amen. To rule and reign. God's going to show you how to rule and reign. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And the king, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. And God's showing you about the kingdom, how the kingdom of God, yes, is strong and it's powerful and it's dominating and powerful and strong. But the tender part of it is that God always understands human failure, human weakness, and he's the perfect high priest because he's been tempted in all ways. In other words, he's very tender and sensitive to those who fail and make mistakes and fall short. And he's not judgmental. He's come to change that thing of the judgmental spirit to, you know, understanding people and letting them know that he loved them and he's tender toward them and they can make mistakes and fail without being condemned. But to be his tenderness is always working to make them better in Jesus' name, to make them more yielded to God. And his tenderness in response to their failures, his tenderness in response to their failures makes them open up to God, even about other things, you know, because they see how tender that he is. And Jesus' name, yeah, that mean religious spirit that's always trying to, treats people bad, treats people in a wrong fashion. Amen. That tender shepherd's heart in you, girl. Amen. And opening up people around you to be able to, you know, be themselves, knowing that tender Jesus, precious Jesus, is going to love them, accept them, and lead them into change and create in them a new heart. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. It's about giving them people rest. In Jesus' name, that tenderness bringing them to a place of entering into the rest of the Lord, literally resting and knowing that he's going to do the work. All you got to do is yield to him. Amen. And when you yield to a tender shepherd, it's easy. 847, let's go here. All right, 847-239. I'm going to talk to you real quick.
Hello, Stephanie from Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. All right, Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for the power to the power to the indwelling power of Jesus, and the power of the indwelling Christ inside you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I see God, you know, the glory of God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory bringing you hope that God's going to get glory out of your life, that he's going to get hope, that you're going to hope and dream, and that glory in you, that Christ in you is going to give you hope, that God, everything that you are, everything you have, everything you don't have, whatever you think you come short of, that he's going to take your life and bring glory to it and make you, God's going to make you be well respected and because of the glory of God, how God has, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's giving you hope that, you know, he's going to bring glory into your life and bring glory out of your life and bring glory through your life. That the power of that is amazing. The power of being able to hope against hope. Abraham hoped against hope. You know, he just, even when everything looked at like it was failing, you know, it all ended up in being blessed. And God, in spite of his failures and mistakes and, you know, compromising with Sarah, you know, Sarah compromising, coming up with Ishmael, but all, even with all that stuff, you know, the hope he had, because he knew the Father, he was friends with the Father, and because he knew the Father, that God turned all of his stuff into glory, and that was a promise that God gave him, you know, that that I will, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make you, I'm going to prosper you, I'm going to bless you. And the more he saw how God, in spite of himself, when he went to Egypt with Sarah, when he first got going, and he told her, he said, you know, they're going to like you, you're beautiful, you know, just tell them you're my sister, so they won't kill me. You know, even with all that going on, you know, and then Abraham saw God, you know, plague Egypt, even though the Egyptian king had nothing to do. I mean, he was just, you know, taking Sarah because she wasn't married, right? He didn't do anything wrong. And yet God plagued him in spite of that. And so Abraham first seen that even in all of his stuff, that God still got glory and still took care of him, still protected him, and still made sure that he got where he wanted, where God wanted Abraham to go. He got there in spite of all that, right? And each time he would learn. So he was, by the time he was older, he was like so settled in, you know, I'm gonna do my best. I'm learning to trust God. I'm learning that He's gonna protect me and keep me, walk over me, and everything I have and I don't have, God, I know I can rest in the fact You're gonna turn into glory. Christ in you, power of Christ in you, you know, showing you that. So you enter into a rest knowing that, you know, this is not about what Stephanie does right all the time. It's about what God is doing in you. And that even when he tells you that I'm going to curse those, like he told Abraham on his way to Egypt, I'm going to curse those who curse you and bless those who bless you. Well, if he'd have really believed that right away, he would have never told Sarah, you know, tell him you're my brother, you're my sister. Tell him that I'm your brother and you're my sister. He would have never even come up with that. He'd say, well, God's going to curse those who curse you and bless those who bless you. But he didn't. But the thing is, Abraham had a learning heart. He was able to learn and glean from every mistake he made. And God showed him how, even in spite of his not believing what he said, I'm going to protect you. And God still did it anyway. That's what he saw, that's what made Abraham such a friend of God. And that brought Abraham to a place of great blessing, great glory. So thank you, Jesus, for Stephanie, God, and showing her that the frustration and sometimes the anxiety that hits all of us about, am I doing everything right? Am I doing everything perfect? Probably not. Probably not. But you know what? God is gracious and he is kind and he's the lover of your soul and he's working hard with you to get it done. Even when you don't think it's happening, he's going to do it. He's going to do it in spite of us, right? That's called grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. And then sometimes we have that pride of thinking, I want to do it right. I want to get everything right. I want to do everything right. Yeah. Yeah. Don't we all? But God is gracious and he's kind. And he works with us. And then, all right, 919-995. Here comes 919-995. All right. I think this is Cheryl from phone line. Hello. All right.
Not Cheryl. Thank you. I think I know it's not Cheryl from Florida, but Cheryl from the Carolinas. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Thank you, Lord, for her life. We thank you, Lord, for her dedication to you, Jesus. And, Lord, that you are more dedicated to her than she is to you. And she is very dedicated to you. And I thank you, Jesus, for God showing you how to, you know, faith that works is dead. And God showing you how to activate your faith and how works are not just something we come up with, but works are the things God promotes us to do, you know, challenges us to do, draws us to doing. You know, when we do that, the faith without works is dead. Faith with works, when we obey God and do what he said, it activates your work realm. That activates your reward realm. That's why works are what we do, because God's telling us to do it, because he's guiding us to do it, because he's leading us to do it. We're being faithful and loyal, even when everybody else says we shouldn't, or everything else says we shouldn't be. We still do what God says no matter what, and obey him in those things really is what is what causes the rewards of God to be rewarded to you. And the reward realm is extremely important. So because that's what causes you to just desire to want to do what God wants, because he rewards those who diligently seek him. I mean, it's not about diligently doing everything perfectly, but it's diligently seeking him. And the more you diligently seek him, the more he's going to reward you. And he rewards those who diligently seek him. Amen? And you're a diligent seeker. Let me get the scripture for you. Before you hear, I'm going to read this to you. Hebrews 11:6. I think, is it one of them? All right. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is and exists, that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. There you go. That is Hebrews 11, verse 6. And, you know, this thing in you that earnestly seeks him, it says, let me read it to you in another version here. And without faith, it's possible. It says, impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him, earnestly seek him. Some versions say, the King James Version says, diligently seek him. So you're a diligent seeker, and just being a diligent seeker alone is, you know, you're going to find things. You're going to find him. You're going to find his. You're going to find his rewards. That, you know, because what you want more than anything is to please him, and he knows that, and so you may not always do it perfectly, but it doesn't say you do it perfectly. It says that he who seeks him diligently and comes to God and believes that he is, you know, just simply believing that God is and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him, you know. So it's not always about diligently finding everything, although that's what our goal is. But the fact that you're diligently seeking him and he sees that, just like the judge who, the woman kept coming to him. He says, man, give her what she wants, but she's driving me crazy. Not that we do that with God, but that he was telling us, if that evil judge would do that, how much more would a godly judge do? And so, but just diligently seeking him, that's going to reward you just for that. I mean, there's a reward just for that, right? Let's look at that just a little bit closer here a second here. Thank you, Jesus. 11:6. All right. Let's go here to talk about all the faith people. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had a testimony that he pleased God. So without faith, it's impossible to please him, and he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those diligent to seek him. You know, and so there you go. So, you know, just because you're diligent to seeking him, he's going to reward you with finding him. right? It's like even if you're going, like, seeking the wrong, he just knows you're seeking him. You're not, you know, okay, God, I'm ever going to find you, and the reward is going to be you're going to find him. He's going to make sure you find him. And that's the reward, is finding him, finding the answer, finding the breakthrough, finding his will for your life, finding his purpose for your life. In Jesus' name, amen, that he wants you to be him first and his righteousness. And when you do that, he's going to add everything else and everyone to you that you need, including your finances, family, everything in Jesus' name. So open up that place, God, in Jesus' name, and let my friend come into that place of that friendship with Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 754-240.
Hey, Randy, this is Donald and Tanya from Miami.
Hey, all right, you guys. All right, good to have you guys. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Donald and Tanya today, God. I thank you, Lord, for that. It's amazing. I didn't know you guys were there. I'm talking about faith to the person before I get to you, right? It's all about faith. I'm reading faith scriptures, and then you might as well call it. It's just like God is just trying to really say that. And here's the thing, Donald and Tanya, both of you guys. The thing that our, you know, faith comes by hearing, right? And this whole new era that we're in, it's going to come with a whole new kind of faith. It's going to come with the faith of such fire, the fire of God's faith. It's going to be a fire faith, a faith of fire. And so we go through the fire, and like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown into the fire, it's because they said, God, you know, even if God doesn't deliver me, you know, it's like their faith was so amazing, man. Even if God doesn't deliver me, like, whatever, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not bowing down. I'm not going to serve God because he delivers me. I'm just going to serve him because I'm serving him. And that faithfulness, their faithfulness to God was amazing, Donald and Tanya. And so God is, and they were transferring into a whole nother, God was getting ready to give them a big boost, a big raise, a big promotion, right? And so their faith was so strong, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, oh, King, we're just not going to bow down. I'm sorry, that's it. I mean, that was faith. That was raw faith at to the highest level, to the point that they were going to be willing to suffer for it. And when they were thrown into the fire, the rewards that the people got who threw them in the fire wasn't very good because they got burned up when they threw them in the fire. But the fire didn't touch them. Fire didn't do anything. But it caused the Lord Jesus, their faith, that raw faith, that beautiful faith, caused Jesus to show up with them in the midst of fire. It destroyed everybody else. If you got close to that fire, they turned that fire to the point where even the people throwing them in got destroyed. And we're going to see that happen. We're going to see people that are trying to throw us in the fire. They're going to be destroyed. But, you know, guess what? God's going to, cause Jesus or cause, you know, the Christ-like nature in us and around us, and Jesus himself showing up going, man, I'm with you, man. I'm proud. Look at this thing. We're in the fire together. We're in the fire. It's like you're the fire of faith, the fire of faith. And, you know, like the two witnesses, when they look at the kind of faith they walked in, that when somebody tried to hinder them, I mean, this is the same kind of thing. I never thought about it until right now, that what happened, what came out of their mouth? Fire. So the fire that they had gone through, the fire of God in them, the fire, they'd been through the fire, and that fire was alive in them. It didn't destroy them. It protected them. So it says, the Bible says in Revelation 11, when anybody would try to stop them from doing the will of God, the fire came out of their own mouth and destroyed them. And so this whole thing about your fire of faith and the faith of fire, I'm not sure how to say that. I just keep saying it, is for this new era that we're in, that's going to bring promotion and protection. You know, it's not going to be like we're going to be faithful to God and then we're going to get our heads chopped off and go, well, we're nice martyrs. I mean, there are going to be those people going to do that, but then there are those that there's different levels of different people. You know, like they look like they were going to be killed, right? it's like many times the two witnesses were like they were going to be killed, but all of a sudden, you know, either fire came out of their mouth or something, God protecting them, you know, until their time of prophecy was over. But with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fire. They were thrown into it, and yet in that fire, because of their fiery faith, fire inside them burned much stronger than the fire on the outside of it. And that's what happens, and that's what faith does. That's what your faith's going to do. Your faith's going to be so strong that the faith of God's going to burn, and it's going to burn so strong in you that it's just kind of like, how can I explain this? It's like being in your, being outside in the 120-degree heat, and then stepping inside with the heater on, and the heater's got the house, you know, you've been out in 120-degree heat in the sun, and you step into the house, and the heater's on in the house, and the heat's up to, you know, 85 degrees. It's like you walk in there, and you're like going, man, this is like nothing. Like, I'm starting to sweat out there, but I'm not, I come in here, you see what I'm saying? It's like the fire inside of you is going to be the sun, but the fire on the outside, you know, it's just going to devour enemies. It's going to be like nothing. Like when they stepped into the fiery furnace, it's like the fire they lived in, you know, just like was like nothing. Like, you know, yeah. Because when you go through the fire with God, the fire that the enemy tries to put you in can't even, it's like, you know, it's nothing compared. It's like nothing. The comparisons are like nothing. And, So, the guys who came in, of course, they didn't have any fire of any kind of faith. So what happened? The fires have, you know, burned them up. I don't even know what I'm saying, dude. I mean, I'm just kind of saying what I see, but the fire of faith, man. I don't know what that's about exactly, but the fire of faith. Oh, my God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, talking about the fire, the tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost. Yeah, you know, dude, that the fire of God compared to the fire when we go through the fire of God, the fire that enemy tries to push on us is like, sometimes you can take if you're ever taking a match or a candle and run your hand over it like that, you know, you don't hardly feel it, it doesn't burn anything. Kind of like that. It's like the flames can't touch you. Wow, I'm learning something about this. I'm really meditating on this right now. Hallelujah. So if we go through the fire, that the fire of God in us is turned up, you know, seven times on the inside, and we've allowed him to turn that fire up and refine us and bring us to, you know, where we, like he said last night, where, like Jesus said, I can do nothing without my Father. You know, that meant that he totally had no fire on his own. He had the fire of God, right? Fire of God. When you get the fire of God is so much hotter than the worldly fires, the worldly troubles and tribulations. It's like water off a duck's back, no doubt. So I don't know why I'm bringing that comparison. Maybe God's going to show you something about that. I'll like to show you about that. But amen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wow. I'm going to have to chew on that one. That was good. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Fire. Where the fire scripture we have? The fire coming out of the two witnesses. So that the reason that they could say, dude, the reason they could spit out the fire on their enemies when they try to destroy them is that fire that came out of their mouth destroyed their enemies. I just, you know, I never done that before. Comparison between the fire that destroyed the soldiers taking Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in. You know, there's a comparison there for some reason. Somehow or another, I don't understand it, but very, very interesting that the fire of God that the two witnesses walk in, you know, they've been tried in every kind of way and trusted God, and therefore the fire of God with him is so hot that when their enemies try to come against them, the fire of God came out of their mouth. Wow, destroyed the people trying to destroy them. Same thing right there. All right, 251-229, you want to talk to where you're from, please? All right, 251-229.
I think it's Sarah. Sarah, thank you, Jesus. Hope you're doing okay with the COVID stuff. It's been messing with you, and you're sorry for your mama's death and your daughter. Thank you, Jesus, for Leah. We thank you, Jesus, for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just see, you know, you guys rejoicing. I see your relationship, you know, growing together, and I see, you know, like you becoming like sisters, and yet, you know, your mother and daughter, but like sisters, Leah. Did I say that already? Leah, I know I said Leah, but yeah. So there's something going on with that with you guys. I see you guys into a fellowship to where you feed each other and drink from each other. And, yeah, so I thank you, Jesus, for that fellowship. I thank you, Lord, for that love. I thank you, Lord, for that place of that, the fear and reverence of God that we see, you know, how fast we can, how the enemy can suck us up, that we need each other, that we need, you know, God wants to, is connecting people. And I thank you, Jesus, for that mother and daughter relationship, Father, that you're going to, we've refined it in the fire, and Jesus, you're going to, bring that place of comfort and love and that you're, that Leah's going to see into her mother like she's never seen, and her mother's going to see into Leah like she's never seen, and understand each other and have compassion for each other and love each other in Christ. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that God, you know, El Shaddai, the breasting one, that compassion and that tenderness, yes, in Jesus' name, nurturing that love spot of Jesus, where you find this love spot. Oh, we hit the love spot today. Like, wow, we drink the love in. Man, we drink, that's the love of God. It's the love of God. And the love of God just penetrating. Love of God, you know, bringing total freedom and liberty and healing. And just do fellowship with you guys. Amen. Opening up scripture and learning things together and that kind of thing. Wow, awesome. All right, 608-960. I'll talk to you real quick.
Hey, Shannon in Wisconsin.
Hey, Shannon. All right, Shannon. Good to have you. Thank you, Jesus, for Shannon, Father. I thank you, Father, for the refining of the fire of God. I thank you for, you know, the fire of God, burning up the fire of all the, you know, witchcraft and all the stuff, all the stuff trying to come against him. Father, that you bring him a dose of the fire of the Holy Ghost, and how the fire of God burns away all those things that people try to put on us, that it says the Holy Ghost and fire came upon them. I speak, God, that the Holy Ghost and fire come upon him, God, in Jesus' name, that the enemy's going to wish he'd have never seen, never messed with Shannon, that the enemy had never even, you know, I wish I'd have never even known his name. I wish I'd have never even, because the wrath of God, the fire of God, to torment. You know, even said, I love this part, but the two witnesses said that they tormented the whole earth. How do they torment them? Well, because they were all trying to take the mark, and they were all trying to, the Antichrist was trying to get his thing going on, and they just kept messing with it, tormenting them. Like, you know, man, I wish I'd never met them. They're finally glad when they were dead. You know, like the whole world rejoices when they were dead, and they tormented the whole earth. Yeah, there's just something about that with, you know, and God, you know, tormenting the devil through you and using you to torment him and to torment the system and torment, you know, like expose it and, you know, no longer a subject to that, but it becomes subjective to you, you know, in Jesus' name, and giving you power and authority over it in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for just making my brother wealthy, wealthy with your love, wealthy with your protection, wealthy with your make him bless his financial realm in Jesus' name, and open him up to that fire of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name, that the sufferings of Christ in him make the enemy suffer. Like every time Jesus showed up, they said, you know, why do you torment us? Like, why have you come to torment us? You know, you see that a lot. You know, why have you come to torment us? And with the two witnesses, the same type thing. And you see, you know, the anointing destroys the yoke. And God bringing you on the other side of it, where it's them, that not tormenting you, but you tormenting it, them and it and all that, them and it and all that. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. To torment the enemy, to torment him. Man, I wish I'd have never,
you know, like the two witnesses, they said, man, we should have never even, you know, I don't know where you came from, two witnesses, but you, we should have never met you. Yeah, you know, because they aggressively went after that system. Amen. They tormented it, and the people who tried to, you know, who they were trying to save from it, considered it torment, and it was. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. 951-966. Can I talk to you from?
Hi, this is Regina in California.
Yes. Hi, Regina. All right. God bless you, Regina. Thank you, Jesus. I see your eyes to see. The seer in you is awakening the seer. It's like I see, you know, the seer in you, you know, looking at things completely different, looking at things at a total different perspective. It's like we always talk about Joseph, how he looked at things at a totally different perspective. And like I talk about, you know, where Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. You know, he saw that. That was a miracle. Most people don't get there, and he did. And you're getting there. You've gotten there. You're getting there. All that. But also, like we talked about, also in the era that we're in, now, with Biden and all that whole thing. You know, if you don't understand that God, you know, was telling us about it all along in different ways. You know, that now that it's happening, it's like if we don't interpret that or see that. But what it really is, we're going to miss the whole process and miss God out on the whole thing. And that's what I see God doing with you is opening your eyes, the seer in you, starting to be able to comprehend and understand, okay, I don't have to fear this stuff because, you know what, if God is with us. God's going to show us. His glory's going to be poured out. He's going to protect us. He's going to cause the church to repent and get right with God. And because that happens, then the glory of God's going to come on the church in a way it never has before. And you start seeing things in a completely different way, in a completely different light. And therefore, you know, a lot of the fears, I mean, we all deal with fear. I talk honestly about the fears of COVID that I've had in different ways of actually being in a car with somebody who told me they just got, you know, tested positive, you know, and I'm sitting like, you know, wow. It was just, you know, it's awakening. It's we from a distance, we say, yeah, I would never. You know, Peter, I would never deny you, Lord. No, I never, you know, when it came right down to it, all the pressure's on and all the things happen. Wow, we found ourselves in this. So the reality, when the reality hits, Regina, you know, the seer in you, the pressure that's coming on you is causing the seer in you to see, the seer in you to look at things the way God is saying it. Like Jesus or Peter said, you savor not the things of God, but the things of man. You know, so you look at the things through man's eyes, you're going to end up in fear. You're going to end up denying. You're going to end up falling apart. You're going to end up, you know, being tormented. So you see through God, you're going to prosper and be blessed. In Jesus' name, prosper her. Open her up, God, to that, to be able to see people, to be able to see the looks in their eyes, what to interpret that, to get the interpretation, to get it, or the spirit of understanding of things and how to treat things, how to you know, not respond always right away to negative people's negative stuff. And give it a chance to sit, and then God giving you answers. I see God giving you answers on how to respond to people. And before you would respond kind of quickly, you know, maybe because you thought you had an answer real quick, but responding, you know, like sometimes what I do, and it's taken me years to learn to do this, if somebody says something really rough and they want me to respond right then, maybe not against me, but it's just maybe a real negative thing, you know, I kind of let it set and I soak on it. And I say, God, you know, I can't see anything good about that, but can you show me something? And he always does. I mean, I just wait. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their wings, renew their strength, and mount up with wings as eagles. In Jesus' name. And the seer in you, the mounting up with the wings as eagles and seeing things in a whole different way and interpreting things in a whole different way, where, you know, instead of denying Jesus like Peter did, and like we can do, we you know, walk in strength and walk in power and walk in authority. Because when the seer sees, he sees what God's doing. Amen. And so in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that seer in her, God, rising up in Virginia in Jesus' name. And like Joseph, he was a seer already, but he had the seer and the interpretation of what he saw. He could see things, but he didn't interpret them correctly. And so sometimes being blinded to something is a timing issue. Sometimes we're blinded But the Jews are going to be blind until a certain time. Then their eyes are going to be opened to Christ. It's just like Joseph, his eyes were blinded to what that really meant until all of a sudden, you know, they weren't anymore. You're like, wow, everything God said is happening exactly. They're bowing down to me. You know, the Pharaoh even in Egypt, and wow, now my brother's like, whoa, what is all this? Yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for the timing of him seeing. Amen. Sometimes God blinds us to what's really going on, so we'll be faithful to him no matter what. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, even if king, even if God doesn't deliver me, I'm not going to bow down. That's what God is working in our hearts. And the seer, you know, can see that, you know, even if God does deliver, I'm still not going to bow. And then, you know, God's bringing promotion in Jesus. God, I speak promotion over and over Regina tonight. I speak promotion over her tonight in the name of Jesus. I see promotion coming to you. Amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done. Hallelujah. All right. All right. I've been getting hit hard lately trying to weaken me and discourage me. Yep, I understand. Yep. And the earth is getting full of it. And, yep. So thank you, Jesus. All right. All right, I think that's it for tonight. I think that's all my callers had their hand up. There's several people down there don't have their hand up, so I guess maybe I've either talked to them already or something. I'm not sure, but I'm willing to stay with you. But you have to raise your hand. Okay. All right, I'm going to call it night tonight. Thank you, guys. It's been great. See you tomorrow. We'll be on tomorrow night. Hopefully you can join us. And if you can, we'll hopefully get some kind of something that will help you and bring you through what you're going through. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right. All right, 251, I already prayed over you. You have to go back and listen to I think that's Sarah. Sarah, I already prayed over you. I see you get your hand up there again, but I just prayed. I knew that was you, so I prayed over you and Leah.